All right, every file completely commercial free. If I can get just 500 monthly subscribers, every one of these shows can be offered to you guys completely commercial free. So, I'd appreciate it if you guys went to airamericaplace.com, click donate, and help make it possible. Thank you.
Maron, it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Okay, here we go. Good morning. It's Thursday. How are you, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, man boys, women girls, condescending, self-righteous, progressive utopians with no sense of humor and no real friends? Good morning to you. Good morning to those of you who aren't asleep yet for whatever reason. Good morning to the tweakers out there in California. How are you? Still dancing? What's happening? I'm here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We got Kalo on the board, Ignatius J. Larson in the booth. We've got Brendan P.W. McDonald.
Where did you dig up Ignatius?
McDonald is out somewhere. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, will be in later. He's actually in some sort of weird state of excitement-induced paralysis over the fact that we're going to Philly tomorrow to see Bruce Springsteen.
Now, by the way, what does the J stand for if his first name is actually Ignatius?
Ignatius J. Riley was the protagonist of the Confederacy of Dunces, and I've decided that Larson is his double.
Really? So he's like Robert E. Lee or something? What kind of Confederacy?
It's a book about this, this sort of large, almost, sort of detached but very rational, funny character who is somewhat of an underdog in the world. It's one of the great books. Not my favorite book. A lot of people, put it right up there with the Bible in terms of satire. But, I read it.
Oh, you're starting early today.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I mean, they consider it the greatest satirical novel ever. I like it. Tell me, Pashman. Pashman's in the booth now. Ignatius J. Riley or what?
No.
Larson? are you a fan of Confederacy of Dunces?
Uh-oh.
Did you read it?
It happens to be my favorite book of all time. It is a phenomenal book.
Tell me Larson isn't like him.
Well, Larson has a little better ability to function in society than Ignatius J. Riley does.
Oh, he's got you fooled.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Pashman
he's got
is
everybody
commenting
fooled.
On his own boss.
Yeah, this is
wonderful
this
stuff.
This is the delicate thing about that.
Former boss.
Can you sum up the book for some of the people that may not know it?
It's hard to sum up because it really is mostly just about Ignatius J. Riley. He's one of the all-time legendary literary characters.
An anti-hero, tragic comic figure.
Exactly. I mean, you read the first page of that book.
Yeah.
The line about how the corners of his mouth filled with like sarcasm and potato chip crumbs.
That's Larson. I'm telling you, I mean, it dawned on me the other night.
And how his pants have these folds that have pockets of warm air that soothe him when he gets tense.
It's Larson. Is there any mention of compulsively eating green peppers?
They've been talking for years about making that book into a movie.
I know, they can't pull it off.
First they were saying Philip Seymour Hoffman was going to be Riley.
I've heard recently
Will Ferrell.
How does he spell his last name?
Will Ferrell.
Just like you.
No, two L's. You're two L's.
No,
you're
one L.
Yeah, he's Riley.
R-E-I-L-L-Y?
I believe so, yes.
As opposed to R-I-L-E-Y, which is the real way
to spell it.
That's right.
Yeah, I heard that too about Will Ferrell. I mean, Dennis Leary's company was trying to produce it. It's been kicking around for years. I don't know what's going to happen with that. So now that you're in the studio, Pashman, now that you're here, Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, who is a jack of all trades. He's out to, in the darkness getting things done for the show. What's going on, man? What is this big news?
Dude, I am just so pumped. I was sitting in my apartment yesterday afternoon, which on my schedule is the evening, drinking a beer and listening to Darlington County by Bruce Springsteen. And I fired you guys off an email.
I get an email just like out of nowhere, like 7:16. Dudes, are you so excited that we're going to see Springsteen on Friday?
I'm so pumped. And I spoke to some of my inside sources in the Bruce world who reported to me. He's been in Asbury, New Jersey for 3 days rehearsing with the band.
Uh-huh.
They had Fogerty in yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Some of the songs they've been rehearsing, it just looks phenomenal. They rehearsed Chimes of Freedom,
yes,
which I've really been pulling for. I'm hoping they're going to play that one. Souls of the Departed.
Oh, yeah?
Which is off Human Touch, Lucky Town, his solo album.
I'm lost. Riley, you?
Well, wait a minute. Now, we ought to let people know exactly why Bruce and all of these stellar musicians are coming together. It's not just for laughs, right, Dan?
That's a good point, Riley. It is the MoveOn.org, American Come Together.
American Come Together Tour.
Correct, and you guys will, I'm sure, keep plugging this, but we do want to let listeners know out there that there are still tickets available for some of these shows, and there are various artists touring various swing states for the next week, starting tomorrow night. Unbelievably, tickets still available for Bruce and R.E.M.
This is
and
so funny.
Fogarty.
See, like a guy from New Jersey cannot understand how there could be Bruce Springsteen tickets
available anywhere on the planet. Are you on the Bruce payroll or something?
Everyone in New Jersey should be on the Bruce payroll. He's like the patron saint of New Jersey. And there's some part of Pashman that's sitting there going, man, I could probably make a couple of these concerts. I wonder if I could take off work and fly to where?
Dude, you should have seen me when I went to see Bruce in Chicago.
Yeah.
And some people, like, he opened with Adam Ray's at Kane, and people didn't know what the song was, and I started yelling at them all. I was like, this is not how we do it in New Jersey.
And you're still here to talk about it. Isn't that amazing?
This is hilarious. I've got this dispatch that you sent me from your friend. It actually has the songs that were rehearsed in the studio last week on the 27th, this week, the 28th and the 29th. Now, is this a guy that just sort of like hangs out outside?
I've got sources, Mark. They're well-placed. They're reliable. I can't divulge.
Oh, my God. You know. Songs rehearsed on the 27th, Badlands, No Surrender, Lonesome Day, Souls of the Departed, so it looks like it's going to happen for you. My Hometown, great. Youngstown, Promised Land, The Rising, good. 10th Avenue Freeze Out, wow, that's old, right?
Yeah.
Mary's Place, Born to Run, of course. Land of Hope and Dreams. What's so funny about Peace, Love, and Understanding? That'd be nice.
Yeah, and it looks like they're going to bring that one in. And, I mean, with Creedence Songs and John Fogerty playing with them, who knows what they could dip into the bag.
You know what they need to do? I hate to say this, but my favorite Creedence song, and remember, I'm older than you guys, is Born on the Bayou.
Born on the Bayou!
Yeah. I love that song. Now, if they did that, I'd go see it. But I know they're not going to do it because that wasn't one of their most popular
songs. Fortunate Son and Coming Around the Bend, Up Around the Bend, I love that.
I actually have a recording of Bruce and John Fogerty performing Born on the Bayou.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, a bootleg?
Indeed.
My friend is as crazy about Dylan as you are about Springsteen. My buddy Jim, like, he's like, you know, he's like, I saw Dylan 60 times last year. And I'm like, and what happened? What was so different than every time? Well, he stood up the one time from the piano and then sat back down again. No one really knew why, but it was perfect. What does that even mean? Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
So, Riley, when you were back in the day.
Back in the day. I've seen Dylan back in the day.
I didn't see him back in the day. I saw him once in Anaheim. Outdoors with the Grateful Dead. I had taken mushrooms with my brother, and the sound was so, like, they had, sometimes in outdoor stadium things, especially if you're tripping, it's a real problem, because they've got speakers set up all over, and it doesn't quite sync up with what's going on stage, and all the speakers are a little offset from each other, so for me, it was a nightmare.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a system that you're supposed to use to do that. My friend David knows how to sequence speakers so they don't, so it doesn't sound like you're hearing 5 million echoes at once.
Who were your bands back in the day, Riley? I mean, who were the guys that you saw multiple amounts of times?
Stanley Turrentine I saw a bunch of times at a place called Slugs here in New York. As a matter of fact, I ran into him smoking a joint in the bathroom. He's dead, so I can't bust him for it. Let me see.
But we can bust you.
Yes, I know.
I guess your wife's not up yet. Not yet.
But I saw Bob Dylan when he was doing the Hurricane Carter tour.
Oh, yeah, you tell me about that.
An incredible, incredible concert, because it was the most sound I have ever heard anywhere. This was Rick Wakeman was part of that band.
Was that when he was painting his face?
Yes.
And he was wearing the hat? The
Rolling Thunder Review. Rolling Thunder Review. What a concert. But I'll tell you another concert I saw live that impressed me almost as much. And aside from Hendrix, with the Band of Gypsies.
I can't believe you saw that at Fillmore East.
That's right, New Year's. That record
gives me chills. I mean, when I listen to the Band of Gypsies at the Fillmore, like when that first note, when he comes in on the first song, wow, it's, oh, my God.
Man, when you started hearing, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I mean, it was just, but...
Hey, I better have let's all hum guitar show.
No, I'll tell you one show, and you all probably don't remember this band. It was a band called MFSB from Philadelphia.
This is a
band that did the Soul Train theme.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Well, one time they went to Felt Forum, which is now the theater at Madison Square Garden, which is where we hung out during the convention. Back then it was called the Felt Forum.
Mm-hmm.
They actually brought an entire orchestra I don't know what symphony orchestra it was, but they brought an entire orchestra in to do MFSB. So it was this orchestra and then the Tramps, which was an incredible band. Earl Young, who's one of the finest rhythm and blues drummers who ever lived,
yeah,
was the drummer for that band. And this guy named Bobby Martin, who used to produce all their stuff, was the conductor of the entire thing.
Uh-huh.
And they did this song called Love is the Message, and they got to a point where there's a break, and there's like a silence, and they go into another part of the song. And the guy did this whole classical, the violin stood up and started playing.
Really?
And the crowd went berserk. The crowd was jumping all over, some screaming and hollering.
That must have been a first for a violin player.
I'm telling you, people were like, whoa.
People are like picking up the violin player in an outfit.
Actually, I saw that happen.
Don't break my instrument. It's a strata variant.
I saw that happen at a Yitzhak Perlman concert once.
Well,
yeah.
Yitzhak. No, it was an incredible moment because, you know, I had never seen a band play that kind of, it was a club song.
Yeah.
I had never seen a club song played by an orchestra like that in a live setting before. You hear it on record, but you never really hear anybody accurately and faithfully reproduce what you hear on record.
Well, just seeing an orchestra at all is mind-blowing, you know, a symphony or anything. I don't know much about that stuff, but the couple of times I've gone to see it's like blasting me out.
Well, bringing it all back, one of the great things about Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band is the sheer size of the band.
Of course.
And the power. I mean, you're talking 8 or 9 people now, and I mean, you're going to be amazed. Doesn't matter where you're sitting.
I'm hoping on Friday, like I know Max because I do Conan so much, you know, that I'm hoping maybe we can get to talk to him. I know we're going to talk to Michael Stipe, which is exciting. But I mean, I'd like to talk to Bruce. I don't know what I'd say to Bruce. I'd be like, so is that's a Telecaster, right? I got a Telecaster. I think that, you know, there's something in the back of my head that's saying,
why don't they talk about the issue?
Oh, so, not that.
We got to come back and talk about the debates. It's Air America Radio at 17 past the hour. See you in a minute.
This is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka. It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. Explain difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
That's right. Yippee! I'll do it on TV.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. If you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
On May 2004, Friends is the number one show on TV. The Mets are in the pennant race. And we're just about to find those pesky weapons of mass destruction.
On a massive scale.
Then, 11:15 one night, on Raw Dog, Sirius 147.
It's Bill inviting you to join me for Getting Late's 100th episode spectacular. Adam Sandler, Jamie Foxx, George Lopez.
The Getting Late 100th episode spectacular. Friday night at 11:15 on Raw Dog, Sirius 147.
How does arguing with your spouse affect your kids? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Some family experts say that lots of arguing results in more aggression between kids. But there's an upside to observing conflict between parents. When you handle it properly, kids can learn how to discuss problems and how to resolve them. And they can see that relationships and family life improve as a result. So, it's okay to disagree openly and calmly with your spouse, as long as you respect and listen to one another. Focus on working toward a solution and not letting anger get the better of you. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Thanks to you, all sorts of everyday products are now being made from the materials you've been recycling. But to keep recycling working, you also need to buy products made from recycled materials. So the next time you're shopping, look for products that say made from recycled materials and buy them. And don't forget to support the recycling effort on November 15th, America Recycles Day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. Again, that's 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A public service message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
Hey, it's 20 past the hour. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey!
Let's listen to Bush debate with himself.
The American people are safer. We are a nation in danger. The American people are safer. We are a nation in danger.
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
Next.
Hey! There you go. And what about
George W. Bush? And what do you think that W stands for? That W stands for wrong. Wrong direction, wrong choices, wrong priorities, wrong judgment for our country.
So tonight, the issue is going to be Iraq, right? It's going to be foreign policy.
Foreign policy, straight
and
up.
I imagine most of it's going to revolve around Iraq.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, if John Kerry is going to take this debate to President Bush, which he has to do, he's going to have to hammer home Iraq. Bush, and you know, give credit where such little credit is due. He stays on message. He's relentless. He will not back off his characterization of Iraq as a success. He hasn't done it on the campaign trail. No need to start now. He's going to try and keep, and we talked about this yesterday, Mark, he's going to try and keep Kerry's plan for Iraq close to his own plan for Iraq. So he can say, well, Kerry's not going to do anything different from what we're already trying to do.
Right.
And he's going to hammer Kerry at the same time for being indecisive. We know that, too. He's a flip-flopper. He said he did this, you know, $87 billion for this. He didn't vote for that. He will keep hammering that stuff. Now, Kerry has explained that stuff on more than one occasion. And Bush, for whatever reasons, people buy his explanation of John Kerry's alleged flip-flop on the issues. It is a maddening thing, I'm sure, for the Kerry camp. But he has got to now start looking at how he undercuts George W. Bush. There's really, in my judgment, only two ways he can do it, Mark.
How's that?
On the one hand, he can try and take Bush off message. A daunting task to a guy who has little else as far as debating skill, but staying on message. So, Kerry, one thing he can do, one option it would seem to me, is to try and pull him off message somehow.
I see. I don't know. I understand what a debate is and how debates are supposed to work, but I don't know if I'm an effective debater because I get too emotional, and most of my debates, you know, at some point in the middle, I'm like, well, you're an idiot and that's stupid. And, you know, and I don't, you know, I don't.
You lose style points for saying that to people in proper debate.
So what is a proper debate?
This is not really going to be a proper
debate.
This
is a staged event of two guys talking next to each other without necessarily acknowledging the other one.
The other one. And, I mean, they're gonna try and, you know, stomp a mud hole in each other's butts, and that's the way debates are generally viewed.
So they can't say you're an idiot, shut up, stupid. They can't say that, but they can say it in so many words.
In so many words. Don't look for a lot of interruption or, you know, if you look back over the history of the last few debates, you'll see that there were periods when, you know, Ronald Reagan rolled his eyes. This one did this. This one did that. There were all of these different, excuse me, the late Lloyd Benson, you know, you're no Jack Kennedy, that kind of stuff. That's what ends up resonating in people's minds. There was some, you know, consultant who was, I believe was a consultant to Gephardt's campaign. I don't know how great he was as a source.
Yeah.
But he says that style cues, you know, how people's faces change when they speak, those kinds of little small things are going to account for 75% of viewers' judgment about whether or not this particular person, whether it's Bush or Kerry, is electable.
Isn't that mind-blowing? See, the thing you were talking about Kerry's protest vote in Congress or in the Senate about the $87 billion, the reason that
people, you have to have a basic understanding of how the Senate works in order to really follow that through and understand, you know, that the charge of flip-flopper is false. And given that, you know, there's a piece sitting here right in front of me that says more than half of those polled by the National Annenberg Election Survey didn't know President Bush alone favors allowing private investments of some Social Security money. Nearly as many didn't know that only Democratic candidate John Kerry proposes getting rid of tax breaks for the overseas profits of U.S. companies. Like, the populace is so uninformed, either, you know, because they want it that way or they don't want to do the work or whatever, that all they have is to respond on is the outfit, the jaw, what their gut instincts tell them about posture. You know, that's a very human thing, but a debate is supposed to be about issues. And like we were talking about before, you were bringing up these sports metaphors.
Well, yeah, and that's what you hear, the puncher versus the you know, the boxing styles. Everything becomes sports metaphor because that's how the media feels the American public will somehow connect with these debates. Now, a lot of people are going to watch these debates anyway, Mark,
yeah,
because there is a lot of interest in this election. But the second option that John Kerry has is to actually go, if he's not going to try and throw Bush off message, then he's got to undermine the message itself. He's
right.
Got to attack Bush's message. No, Iraq is not safer. No, there aren't less people in poverty. No, there aren't less people with health insurance. No, the economy is not. In other words, you've got to go to the source of Bush's message.
So can he do that, though? Can he say, what my opponent has been trying to tell the American people? He can say that. He can speak for Bush, you know, by paraphrasing, can't he?
Yeah, he can. He can do that. And he's got to be... See, because Bush speaks in simple declarative sentences. You know, when you start out in the radio broadcast business, that's the thing they tell you. Speak in short declarative sentences. Get your message out, but keep it clipped, keep it short.
Hold on, I gotta write that down.
Well, that's what Karl Rove and them are telling George W. Bush. Keep your message simple, stick to it, and keep pounding, even if it's the same half-truths. Keep pounding at them because they know that in Americans' minds, a lot of what he says is a matter of interpretation.
Can Kerry say things like, you know, you keep pounding things, you're very persistent, you stay on message, but you don't really engage with the issues?
Yes, he can say that. And it might stick. It might well stick. You've got, but see, now he's got to also be able to run some very quick facts by people to say, hey, 1,000 X number of people have been killed over in Iraq. You know, there's 100,000 cops, only 8,000 have been trained. You have to undercut the message, the underlying message of George W. Bush, which is, I can do a better job at securing this country and keeping the country safe, because that's where Kerry has lost steam. Among married women for whom safety, personal and national safety, are a very important issue.
Well, can he say things like, you know, I know that, you know, as a president, we're both going to do our best to keep the country safe, and there are certain things that I'm going to do that you are doing now, obviously, because I'll be the president and I have a relationship with the military. Like, yeah, we're going to do the same thing, but I am definitely going to, you know, lift up our reputation in the international community.
I wouldn't say I would do the same thing. As a challenger, you don't want to say you're going to do the same thing as the incumbent, because then Bush is going to say, well, see, he's even saying I'm right.
Yeah, okay. So they can just keep appropriating what the other guy is saying if it fits, if it works in their favor.
Yeah.
So,
bust out the message. I don't think trying to throw Bush off message is going to work for Kerry. Not in this format, not under these circumstances. Undercut the man's message.
Okay, so let's get into each debate point when we come back, and let's give the progressive liberal truthful answer to these points.
When we come back, the president's Palm Pilot, the liberal agenda, and do people really care about the issues? Are we really fighting for our lives? When we return on Air America Radio.
Planet Check. Get on board with sustainability. Jason Selfie, president of Comet Skateboards, goes off.
We're essentially in a co-evolution with the modern skateboarder. We need to build a skateboard that performs, but also we want to offer them a choice to buy a sustainable product.
Got wood?
Some of the maple we use is FSC certified.
Comet also uses bamboo because it's a really sustainable wood.
The entire forest can regenerate itself within 7 years and be reharvested.
Comet, along with Glissade Snowboards, will be the first building that produces skateboards and snowboards. snowboards using solar power.
In October, the solar panels will be going up on the roof.
Selfie gives props to skaters who want to do the right thing.
The premise that this is built on is that you don't have to be a genius to be a revolutionary. And if you buy consciously and if you buy in an aware manner, you can change the world.
Drop in online.
CometSkateboards.com.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Tonight's the night that most Americans in the world has been waiting for. The first of the presidential debates between John Kerry and President George W. Bush. Theme tonight will be foreign policy. Speculation has it that the series of debates before the election will further define the race, which in most polls is dead even. Most international observers are predicting more problems in the U.S. presidential elections, worse than what was experienced in the 2000 contest between Bush and Al Gore. Independent survey reveals that most Americans are in the dark about the issues in the presidential contest that both Bush and Kerry support. Finding about Americans being clueless is sobering after all the money spent on political ads and the months of campaigning. And the White House yesterday wanted to make clear that President Bush was never disciplined or asked for special favors while in the Texas Air National Guard 30 years ago. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
He will help new leaders to train their armies and get on the path of stability and democracy as quickly as possible.
If George W. Bush is reelected, he will cling to the same failed policies in Iraq.
And then our troops will return home with the honor they have earned.
And he will repeat somewhere else the same reckless mistakes that have made America less secure.
The presidential debate, live coverage and commentary, Thursday night on Sirius Left 142 and Fox News Channel 105.
This is Earth and Sky, as Amal Wash grew up near the marshes of southern Iraq.
This area was once called the Fertile Crescent. Last year, Al-Wash returned to Iraq for the first time in 25 years.
And I was shocked to see my marshes. I remember sitting and watching the central marshes. They were like a dry desert, an ugly sight.
In the 1990s, new upstream dams starved the marshes of fresh water, and about 90% of them disappeared. Al-Wash is an environmental engineer and project director for Eden Again, an international effort to restore Iraq's marshes. In the past year, about half of the marshes have been reflooded by local inhabitants, and a few are coming back to life. Al-Wash spends about a week each month in the reflooded marshes, hoping to learn why some are recovering and others aren't.
And one of my dreams is in 5 years we would be leading some ecotourist adventurists into this area to show them the ruins of Babylon and the ruins of Ur and the cradle of civilization, and then take them on a kayak tour into some of the floating islands in the middle of the marshes that are coming back. It's a story of hope. I can tell your listeners that the restoration of the marshes is one of the highlights of Iraq of today.
Our thanks to the National Science Foundation, where discoveries begin. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
And you will atone.
No, he won't. I'm not a Tony. All right, those days are over.
Me neither.
I got a clean slate. 33 past the hour, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. This is the, Ramon, I don't know how he's going to go right back to the airport and go back down to Florida, because I know the president needs him, but he actually flew up here. I like it when he comes in with the Hawaiian shirt thing, the glasses. He looks like he got some rest. I guess
he looks like he lost some weight, too.
Yeah, well, no doubt. But here's the president's schedule for today. 4 a.m., wake up in Miami. Debate day. Note, must score Coke. Must score Coke. We'll make it through day without Coke. Call Ramon. He's on the way, GW. 10 a.m., 1 p.m., 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., treadmill, must sweat off loser fat. Note, I'm so ugly, don't look at me. Must score Coke. 1:30 p.m., eat enormous lunch from Joe's Stone Crab. Three of everything, crab legs, scallops, grouper, mashed potatoes, gravy, lots of gravy. 1:45 p.m., vomit. Note, must get rid of loser fat. 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pace like caged animal. Scream at staff. Note, if I start screaming for the nuclear football, don't give it to me, no matter how loud I get. 7 p.m., call Pentagon, top secret science lab. See if they can miniaturize Cheney so I can put him in my pocket during debate. 8 p.m., weep. 8:10 p.m., laugh. 8:15 p.m., weep. 8:30 p.m., say something stupid to Fox reporter for last-minute expectation lowering. 8:45 p.m., laugh. 9 p.m., the big debate. Separate from body. Watch self with amused detachment. 10:31 p.m., declare victory. Hit Kerry with leftover zingers. 11 p.m., bedtime. 11:05 p.m., vomit. 11:30 p.m., bedtime. Think happy thought. I'm light as a feather. Wow, big day. We want to remind people, get out there, register to vote. If you don't haven't registered, you want to get more information on it, you can go to morningsedition.com, go to where it says register to vote, which will link you to declareyourself.com, and you can find out what the cutoff dates in your area are. It's very important that people get out and do this voting thing, even if you don't know what the issues are. If you don't know who you're going to vote for, well, you're dumb.
See,
but if you really don't know, vote for Kerry. Why not? Just go have fun. If you never voted before, vote for Kerry. Why not?
Look, we're at the end of September. This is the last day of September. Those deadlines for registering to vote are now looming over the next couple of weeks in most cases, with the exception of the swing states where you can actually go and register on Election Day, which I believe are Maine and Minnesota. Other than that, you're going to have to register over the next 2 weeks or so. That's when all of the deadlines end up lapsing. So get out there. It's not that difficult. It doesn't hurt. It's not a root canal. Just fill out a couple of papers. You can vote. It's free. And you actually do make a difference. Ask those 537 people they allegedly found in Florida to give Bush an edge.
Yeah, the first deadline is this Saturday. So, you know, it's starting to come down. Quick poll results. This is from Boys Life magazine. 39% polled would rather have Bush for president. 43% polled would rather have Kerry for president. 18% would rather have a bag of frogs. 67% said they would vote for whichever candidate would give them the chance to wear a uniform for as long as they wanted. 47% said they would take an oath always to protect the United States, even if it meant turning in their parents for suspicious behavior. 77% said they would vote for George Bush if they knew he could kill a bear with a pocket knife. And 79% would vote for John Kerry if they knew he had a really cool bike. Oh, there you go. Now let's get to the issues. The issues are most people don't know anything about the people that are running for president. We brought this up a little beforehand, and it just amazes me that that a lot of people apparently importing drugs from Canada. A lot of people thought it is Kerry's issue, but nearly half of the people polled either didn't know or thought Bush also supported changing federal law to allow for drug imports from Canada. These are big platform issues.
Well, they're also issues that both campaigns have spent a lot of money trying to define for people.
Shoving into people's heads.
Yes. Yes. So now people, I think, are starting to realize, or at least those folks who do the polls are starting to realize, it's not working. The ad campaigns are really not working. If half the people polled don't know that George W. Bush has actively opposed the importation of drugs from Canada, I mean, you know, how effective was Kerry hitting at him on this or trying to stake out his own turf on it?
Right, and dig this. Making abortions more difficult to obtain, nearly one-third of those surveyed didn't know Bush alone supports more restrictions on abortion. I mean, how could they not know that? Do you know what I mean? How could they not know that Bush is the guy who wants to restrict almost all access to abortions? That's mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and this is an important point, too, Mark. The ads have not been all across the country, by and large.
Yeah.
A lot of these ads have been targeting specific swing states. So, for example, we here in New York don't see a lot of ads by Kerry or Bush articulating positions, because that money is being spent in other places.
Targeting swing state simpletons?
Targeting swing state undecideds, of which there are more than most people have said up until now.
That's
there's still folks sitting out there that can decide the course of this election.
And you know what they're sitting there doing? I wonder if I should make those biscuits that pop open in the can. You know the can where you buy the
you're going
the,
right.
Yeah, they pop. They pop right open and you put them in the oven, and if you don't burn them, they're yummy.
Yeah.
And then Regis is on, and then I get to have ice cream if I want to. Who's running for president? Those people?
No, they're a relatively small part of the electorate. But you know what? There are people out here who haven't yet made up their minds. There are people who are troubled by Bush but aren't sure about Kerry. If Kerry gets them, if Kerry can nail that group of people down during this debate and retake some of the female vote that has moved away from him because they don't feel safe.
I just think, but that's so, it's so ridiculous to me that, you know, that they don't feel safe. I mean, if you start to look at the possibilities of debate points, you know, John Kerry will be a fine president. He's got the stature, he's got the intelligence, he's got the leadership qualities. George Bush, the reason people are comfortable with him is he's a smug, arrogant, little belligerent guy, full of bully juice. He's a fake Christian. He was AWOL. You know, he's a blow monkey.
You know what the easiest metaphor for this is? Let me give you a real quick metaphor.
What?
A lot of women, when they get in car accidents with small cars, what's the first thing they do? They go out and buy an SUV. Why? Because they feel safer in an SUV.
But don't they cry first and blame it on the other guy?
Well, yeah, they do that too. And they cry to their husbands about the insurance rate. But the main thing they do is they go out, a lot of them, not all of them, a lot of them go out and buy a bigger vehicle. A lot of them buy SUVs. Now, they don't know that an SUV has a higher center of gravity, so if you try and take a turn on the Jackie Robinson Parkway here and there, you're liable to flip the bad boy. That they don't know. But what they do know is the SUV makes them feel safer. Substitute George W. Bush for the SUV and you got the solution.
Yeah, except that it's all hype and the wheels
fall off. Of course it's all hype. It's absolutely all hype.
Stubbornness is not strength. You know, tough love is not, you know, is not humility. It's a fraud.
It's not?
It's a fraud. They're responding to feeling satisfied with his smugness. You know, it's a trick. It's the same reason people liked Dennis Miller. It's 41 past the hour. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio. Hey, you guys, remember, there are two kinds of Americans, voters and morons. Register to vote through our link at morningsedition.com. Please, please, will you? Thanks.
Yeah, I remember it all right. Back in the mid-50s, a young guitar player was working at an Arkansas roadhouse when two guys start fighting to knock over a kerosene stove. Setting the place on fire, everybody rushes out to safety. The young man realizes his axe is still inside the burning building. Risking his life, he races back to get the guitar that will become known as Lucille, named after the woman those two men were fighting over.
Register to win an autographed B.B. King Lucille on the Sirius Blues page at Sirius.com from Sirius Blues 29.
Has someone offended you? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. If a family member, friend, coworker, or even a boss has said or done something to upset you, what should you do? Tell other people? Well, no. You need to go to that person and gently let them know how they've hurt you. If they don't respond, bring along one or two other people and approach them again. In doing all this, be sure you're coming to them with clean hands, without any grudges of your own. When you work for unity in your relationships, you'll be amazed at the results. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Welcome to Tape 5, The Backpat. Let's say your child comes home from high school. They did something good. It's time to give them The Backpat. Now you try The Backpat. That's it. And pat, pat, pat.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The 2000 presidential election was decided by only 537 votes. On November 2nd, your vote can make a tremendous difference. Take the first step to ensure that your voice is heard. Register. JustVote.org is a nonprofit organization where you can register online quickly and easily. Go to JustVote.org, enter your zip code, and follow the simple instructions. You can also find your local polling place, tell a friend about JustVote.org, and donate money to help get more people registered. It's your democracy. Make it work. JustVote.org.
You give me power. Get out of bed. When in the morning, I'm feeling dead.
Hi, this is Paul.
Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
It's morning's edition. It's Air America Radio broadcasting from New York City, the capital of liberal elitism, and proud of it. I don't think California is the capital of liberal elitism. California is the capital of liberal leisure time. I don't know. Well, a lot of people are talking about the debates. Obviously, we're talking about debates, and we just talked about how many people don't really know about what any candidate stands for, and they're just going to base their opinion on, like, hair is nice, it's combed good, you know, which is ridiculous. But some people really do care. I got an email here from a regular listener, American Now viewer. This is the most important election of our lives. As the turning point for Kerry tonight, tonight is the most important night of all, more important than November 2nd. If Kerry loses, we will be fighting for our lives without the wind of John Kerry at our backs. If Bush wins, we can't run. We have nowhere to hide, not in Canada, Mexico, or Europe. There is no refuge from the far-reaching tendrils of this empire. If Bush wins this election, then we will need to take our country back by force. We will need to topple our Saddam Hussein. So, in preparation for that, okay, we need to get some people on uniforms. All right, someone out there has got to start making the uniforms. If we need hats, someone's got to work on hats. We're going to need a flag. I think someone needs to work on a flag. That should be one person. We can't have a group think on this, or we'll never get any of this done in the next month. We're going to need good, cool boots. Right.
Yeah, boots are important.
A good song, too, to march to would be good. And also, we're going to have to, you know,
vehicles. We need vehicles.
We're going to have to expand the amendment, the right to bear arms, because if we're going to take on our government, it's only fair that we can match them. So maybe we're going to need to get some rocket grenade launchers.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Really is morning sedition, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that need to be done to balance this out. So if you guys could get working on that, that would be great. I had nothing to do with it, but I'll join you, you know, after the election if it goes bad, which it's not.
No, it's not going to go bad.
How are your odds running there, Riley? What are you thinking now?
Look, I think that Kerry will, in fact, ace this debate. I think he will find the key, if he hasn't already, and I think he probably has, he will find the way to undercut George Bush's generally optimistic and Pollyannish message about where the country is. And I think he's going to be able to continue twisting that needle in Bush. And Bush won't lose it now. Don't expect the man to lose his cool or anything like that. But I do think Kerry will have the effect of taking him slightly off his game.
Is he going to be able to battle the squint, swagger, you know, bully juice, head cock combination?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he will be able to battle that successfully, because I think he will put on that sincere Mr. Smith goes to Washington look that he really does need to start appealing to people who are not sure of him now.
Is he going to be able to say things like, all right, like let's say George Bush says, there are a handful of people who are willing to kill in order to stop the process in Iraq. Is John Kerry going to be able to say the number of Iraqi insurgents has quadrupled over the past year? Is he going to be able to say insurgent attacks on U.S. forces are up 20% since the spring and 100% since last winter? Last month, attacks on U.S. troops averaged 90 a day, five times as many as last winter. Is he going to be able to say that?
What he's going to be able to say is, there goes George Bush living in a fantasy land again. There are a lot more than a handful of people who are looking to kill in order to stop the process in Iraq, and it's his fault.
Is he going to be able to say, one by one, Iraqi cities are becoming no-go zones, controlled entirely by Bush's handful of insurgents? Are you going to be able to say that?
I hope not.
Okay,
he can. I mean, look, you've got what he's got to do is wrap up all these facts into a coherent two or three sentence package to rebut Bush when he says, hey, it's just a small number of people.
Yeah.
And we can deal with them.
I don't know who you've been listening to, but you're misinformed.
See, the other thing he's got to do, because Bush's next move is going to say, it will be to say, my opponent's plan for Iraq is no different than mine. We're already implementing All points of his five-point plan on making Iraq better. We're reaching out to the UN. I was just at the UN the other day. And Kerry has got to be able to respond and separate out the differences between his plan on Iraq and Bush's plans on Iraq, because Bush is going to be very skillful in trying to Velcro the two together. So if you got an incumbent who's got a plan and a challenger who's got the same plan, why go to the challenger?
You know what's great, though, is that the truth is actually on Kerry's side in a lot of ways, because the brilliant thing about the Kerry approach at this point, which is, you know, citing the intelligence estimates numbers from July and from a month or two ago about what's really happening in Iraq, and all news reports pretty much, you know, support that. So what you got is you got a president claiming something that has no bearing, it's not grounded in any truth. All we see coming out of Iraq are horrendous stories of beheadings, you know, chronic and perpetual bombings, loss of control of territory. He's holding on to this idea that things have been rebuilt, and that was, you know, almost a year ago. They have not been able to make any progress. The war is not going well, and that's clear. The media can't distort that. It's clearly not going well. So that's a good thing for Kerry, and it's a horrible thing for the soldiers that are there, but it's a good thing for Kerry in terms of saying, you know, clearly what you're saying is not true, and I think most Americans can see that.
But see, that's the key, Mark. He's got to also say, what you just said, it's a horrible thing for the soldiers. He can't leave the soldiers out of his evaluation.
Oh, I don't think
of
he
what's
will.
Going on.
I don't think he will. I mean, if you know,
no, he's the perfect person to
right,
do that.
Exactly, because we've got a president that doesn't even go to military funerals, pays a lot of lip service to caring about our troops, that then when they return home, they don't have proper health coverage. He doesn't, he's draining them.
Yeah.
You know, by, you know, extending their service. When we come back, you know, let's talk about this, the hope of the absentee ballot. And also we'll talk about more about the debates. And we'll talk about we'll have the liberal agenda. We'll tell you who's coming up on the show. It's a good morning here on Mornings Edition. It's 51 past the hour, Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com, where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
This week at MotherJones.com, crossing the lines. The battle for Iraq is over oil, right? Wrong. It's over bandwidth. Cell phone bandwidth. That's why a top Pentagon official and some big-name Republicans tried to give an American-led consortium a key stake in Iraq's lucrative wireless market. Find out how at MotherJones.com. Every week on MotherJones.com, you'll find exclusive reports and timely pointers to the best of the independent web. Log on now to MotherJones.com, because you need independent news.
Yeah, I remember it all right. Back in the mid-50s, a young guitar player was working at an Arkansas roadhouse when two guys start fighting and knock over a kerosene stove. Setting the place on fire, everybody rushes out to safety. The young man realizes his axe is still inside the burning building. Risking his life, he races back to get the guitar that would become known as Blue Seal, named after the woman those two men were fighting over.
Register to win an autographed B.B. King Lucille on the Sirius Blues page at Sirius.com from Sirius Blues 29.
Hello, this is Rod Stewart for RAD, Recording Artists Against Drunk Driving. Your lifestyle is your business, but when you drive drunk, you become everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be smart, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The music's always been sacred. The rest of my life was not. First time a guy gave me a shot of dope, I got beat. A little bit later, I got a good one. That was what I was chasing for many, many years after that. I had so many worse days on drugs, I knew I had a problem. Hey, now this is Dr. John with a message from MAP and a partnership for a drug-free America.
Here's a safety tip we can all live with. Children should ride in the rear seat whenever possible and should always be buckled up, especially if your car has airbags. Remember, never place a rear-facing child's safety seat in the passenger seat if you have an airbag. Patterns set early become patterns for life. Set them early. It's a safety tip we can all live with. Brought to you by the National Safety Belt Coalition.
54 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Morning's edition. Air America Radio. You know what, man? This whole debate thing is, it's just going to be so staged. It's like, I hope there's something spontaneous happens. I mean, that's as a comic and having done Letterman and HBO special, you make certain decisions. You know, on my HBO special, I rambled on, I improvised, you know. It made it very real. You know, when you do Letterman or something, you got to be tight. You got to stay on your game. If a moment happens that's a little off point, you know, it's exciting, but, you know, you don't plan for it. I just hope these guys, you know, I just hope they put a, you know, they have enough time to put a little riff time in, but they probably won't, huh?
No, and don't mistake either one of them for John Coltrane if they did have the opportunity.
Just a little riff time.
No riff time. Look, this thing is staged. It's constructed by each campaign to advance their agenda. It's not done to advance the agenda of the American people, and people should not, under any circumstances, believe that any one of these next three debates are really about you, the voter. They're not. Let's be real.
Well, so they've sort of neutered them. Is that the right word? Or spayed them? They've neutered. They've cut off. They're cojones.
Well, what
they've done, handicapped them.
What they've done is try to put themselves in the most, what they see as the most advantageous position. And see, Mark, there is a problem that we have in this country. And that is the difference between what we say it is that we want, okay?
Yeah.
From discussion of issues, you know, we don't want this, we don't want that, we don't want the other, and what we actually go out and support. And the fact of the matter is that people say we want sober discussions of the issues, but if that's what we had in these debates, nobody'd watch them.
Right. Well, you know what? I'm going to reach out to our listening audience, even the people that don't like us. Look, I say that we have a real fight. I say that we take on a Republican. I want any Republican who's listening out there to come in and wrestle one of our hosts. That's what I want to do. I'm putting that out there to you people. I want you to come in. You know, whatever's going to happen tonight is staged. I hope it goes well, but we want to have a real fight. We've got the nads. We want to take on one of our Republican listeners. We want you to email us at sedition@airamericaradio.com, and you come on in and wrestle one of our hosts, and we'll see who's got nads, who's going to win. Because even if this doesn't go well tonight, we are going to transcend. We are going to be victorious here at Morning Sedition. That's all I'm saying, Riley. I'm putting it out there.
Okay.
I'm sick of this crap. Okay, it's time we turn words into action. Is that all right?
I just came from a doctor's
appointment. Riley, you know what I mean? It's going to be all right. I got a plan. I know how, you know what I mean? I'm going to riff. I'm going to improvise. We're going to see what's going to happen. You come in, take on one of our hosts. That's all I'm saying, all right? Republicans, that's all I'm saying, all right? Now let's get to this absentee ballot issue. We both learned something this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People, expatriates, as opposed to people inside the country who may be in a different place and need absentee ballots, but expatriates, people living outside of America, did not have the right to vote in presidential elections until 1975.
Wow. Isn't that amazing that these are Americans that just might be working abroad? And now, apparently, a lot of people are looking for their absentee ballots. I'm getting mine. They're holding it up. I wonder if it's a conspiracy. I don't know, but we're counting on it. A lot of people are voting absentee here in the States around electronic voting. That's our liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here are your marching orders today. One, let results of tonight's debate dictate your mood for the next 5 weeks. It will. Two, keep speed dialing John Kerry with panicked contradictory advice for the debate. Three, watch debate at local bar. Laugh too loud at each of Kerry's dry witticisms. Four, spin the debate coverage, then spin the Republican spin, then spin that spin, until you end up agreeing with the spin that they spun after your spin. Declare victory. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Bush looks fat, don't you think? Doesn't he look fat to you? God, he's huge!
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Hannah Pingree from MoveOnPack.org handicaps congressional races for us, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, Rapture Watch, and Iraq, Birth of a Nation, all here on Air America Radio.
Studies show that over time, anabolic steroids can indeed take a heavy toll on a person's health. Abuse of oral or injectable steroids is associated with increased risk for severe liver problems, including hepatic cancer. People who share needles or use non-sterile injection techniques can also put themselves at risk for contracting dangerous infections. For more information about the harmful effects of anabolic steroids, please go to drugabuse.gov.
Hey, y'all, I'm
Kixbrooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in don't drive drunk.
Yeah, and I got a three-letter word for you, as in get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk. My
heart is lost. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Ben.
I am the Edison Photograph, to delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius, Satellite Fresh, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The series of campaign attacks by John Kerry directly pinning blame on George W. Bush for the war in Iraq may be paying off, so much so that the Bush administration is considering its own campaign to battle the negative perceptions of the war. Administration, the Washington Post reports this morning, is recruiting Iraqi Americans for the purpose of delivering what the Pentagon calls good news about Iraq to U.S. military bases. The effort is a 180-degree turn from the months of reports headed to bases reflecting a sharp increase in violence in the country. There's no question that the objective of the effort is to reshape public opinion among concerned Americans. It's an unusual public relations effort by the Pentagon and the U.S. Agency for International Development. Speaking of the Pentagon, there's word that more than 40% of Pentagon business has been awarded on a no-bid basis over the last 6 years. The development is not really new news, but yet another glimpse on how the government operates. According to a report issued yesterday, the biggest companies won the bulk of their Pentagon contracts without going through a competitive bidding process. After months of poll watching, the American voting populace has a chance tonight to really decide who best should run their government for the next 4 years. This, at least as far as foreign policy is concerned. Two leading presidential candidates will square off this evening in debate in what many will hope will be a verbal slugfest on one of the dominant issues of the entire campaign. Both President Bush and Senator John Kerry are experienced debaters, with their respective former debate opponents advising not to take each other for granted. Because of this, many speculate that the debate may not be as confrontational as many would expect it to be. Former opponents say each should test themselves on the rules and see highlights from history. A report concludes that international observers are predicting more problems in the U.S. presidential elections, worse than what was experienced in the 2000 contest between Bush and Al Gore. The Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe issued a report this week on preparations for the November 2nd election. Group highlighted concerns over the voting machines, voter eligibility rules, and allegations of intimidations aimed at reducing the turnout at polls, especially by ethnic minorities. Group raised the concerns after a visit to the United States earlier this month. Bush-Cheney campaign deployed Housing and Urban Development Secretary Alfonso Jackson to condemn the work of another Jackson, who happens to be a prominent black Democrat known for energizing his party's black base. Secretary Jackson yesterday charged veteran civil rights leader and former presidential candidate, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, and other black political leaders of spreading a message of victimization, prompting most blacks to vote Democratic. HUD Secretary Alfonso Jackson is calling on President Bush to focus his campaign on younger blacks who did not grow up in the civil rights era, fearing that older, mature blacks have been conditioned. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
She will help new leaders to train their armies and get on the path of stability and democracy as quickly as possible.
If George W. Bush is reelected, he will cling to the same failed policies in Iraq.
And then our troops will return home with the honor they have earned.
And he will repeat somewhere else the same reckless mistakes that have made America less secure.
The Presidential Debate, live coverage and commentary, Thursday night on Sirius Left 142 and Fox News Channel 105.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. All this week, I'll be making heavenly matches between my favorite cars and your sun signs. When I come back, caroscopes for Aries and Taurus. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first, until we tested 6 Tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today, or visit TornadoAir.com. Here are caroscopes for Aries and Taurus. Aries, the zodiac's birth by Aries, its first sign.
A combination of sweet and strong rounds bond beautifully with a VW Touareg Newborn, Motor Trend's SUV of the year, which features heated leather seats, V8 engine, killer navigation system, and electronic parking assistance for horning in tight spaces. Taurus. Practical Taurans will turn heads despite themselves as they charge out of the pasture in a Magnum, the all-new sport wagon that Dodge describes as an unmatched combination of performance, packaging, and price. The Magnum is muscled by a Hemi, so it's one fine ride. And that's no bull. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, man children, women girls, who else do I want to say hi to? Tweakers, insomniacs, condescending, self-righteous, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. And no real friends, but plenty of opinions and plenty of reasons why things aren't working out. Welcome to you. Welcome to the woman who wrote in yesterday saying that to get rid of me. Always welcome to those people saying that my humor. Get a new comedian. Mark Maron is sophomoric. He sounds like a 13-year-old boy. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with me embracing the 13-year-old boy in myself?
I believe that children are our future.
Exactly. And I'd just like to say to this condescending bitch that, you know, we don't really need you as a listener, and it's my show. Okay, good morning. Thank you for your input. Yeah, it's interesting when you go into new markets how all of a sudden, like, because we're new to them, they're like, well, clearly they need my help. Clearly what needs to happen here is that they don't understand how to run a radio show. We've been on for, what, 6 months almost?
Yes, yes.
And we've gone through a lot of changes. We've evolved the show. Riley and I enjoy our repartee. We've got Kayla on the board. We've got Brendan P.W. McDonald in the booth. Dan Patchman, son of Lewis and Linda Patchman, who is out in the darkness doing something. not anything autoerotic, but clearly he is
something.
He is out there doing something. We've got Ignatius J. Larson on the board, who is now deemed that, no longer Smarty Pants Larson.
Ignatius. I actually saw a little bit of one of those books,
yeah.
The Ignatius J. Riley series.
Yeah.
He doesn't spell his name the same way I do. He spells it the same way Bill O'Reilly does.
Right.
I'm not reading it.
Okay. No, it's a funny book. And, like, I want to get back to what I said. When I say condescending bitch, I'm not being sexist. I'm not judging all women. I'm judging this one person and her tone. Because you can't really listen to a radio show for 5 minutes and then start to, you know, pipe in with advice. You know, if you want to listen to the whole show and then, you know, make comments, you know what I mean? If you want to listen to a whole show or at least 2 days of the whole show, if you want to actually assess the show and send in something constructive, That'd be fun. I'd love to read those things. But, you know, it becomes very clear when you read, you know, feedback from people that's like, what were they listening to? I mean, they clearly didn't listen to the whole show.
Well, yeah, and in this show, on this show, context is everything. Can I say a quick good morning to some people?
Absolutely, Riley.
I'd like
it's
to say
show.
Good morning to the striking hotel workers in San Francisco. They're striking 4 hotels out there, about 1,400 workers. They're trying to get a contract done.
Yeah.
And I hope, because I'm a union guy at heart.
Yeah.
I hope they win every dime.
That's right. And keep guilting those scabs.
That's right.
Guilt them.
Yeah, and may the strike spread.
Yeah, and don't sweep at those hotels, all right? Because then you're supporting scabs and you're supporting people that don't help out the union people, give them what they want. When I was out there during the supermarket strikes, it was unbelievable. You know, Albertsons looked like a ghost town.
Yeah. Well, the strikes are effective out there, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's just like the persistence is what counts. The Democrats, you know, are favored to take the seat in Illinois. In that election.
That's Barack Obama versus Allen, never mind.
We'll get into that later if you want to gossip. But
sure.
Apparently, Alan Keyes and Dick Cheney have some notes to compare.
Yeah, right.
The Republicans are favored to take two open seats that belong to Democrats, and one in Georgia, one in South Carolina. That leaves six seats that are complete toss-ups. And we want to know, that those states are Colorado, Oklahoma, Alaska. Those are Republican seats, and South Dakota, Louisiana, and Florida are Democratic seats. And it's important because when Kerry's president, we got to get the House back. And we need to, you know, talk about how we can mobilize to do that. And we are going to right now talk to the National Candidate Outreach Director for MoveOnPAC.org. We're going to talk about how we win these elections with Hannah Pingree. Are you there? How are you, Hannah Pingree? Good morning.
I'm good. I'm trying very rapidly to drink as much coffee as possible just to keep up with you guys.
What do you do?
When did you start this morning?
We have been going strong since 2 days ago. Riley and I have not slept for 2 days.
That's right. I got a 5-day growth of beard.
Actually, like a marathon?
No. Hannah, we get in at about 3, and I drink maybe probably the equivalent of 2 pots of coffee, and one of those is a large Dunkin' Donuts coffee, which is equivalent to actually a quarter gram of crank. So
I'm a fan of the Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, yeah, I'm blasted. And I'm reading this. There's an article I have right in front of me about coffee withdrawal, so now I can never get off, apparently. It's not unlike heroin. So what races will be a dead, just a dead heat until the end? Help us out here. What do we got to know?
Well, first of all, I think we have a great chance of taking back the Senate, which is good news.
Yes.
And why organizations like Move On have gotten involved in this election, because we think if people all over the country notice these races and start paying attention and saying, no matter what happens in the presidential race, we have got to take back the Senate.
Uh-huh.
You guys started to talk about some of the top races. Salazar in Colorado, he's running against Pete Coors, the beer man, who is, one of these extreme conservatives, has been funding the Heritage Foundation for a long time.
Extreme conservatives, can we say American fascist?
You can say whatever you want.
Thank you.
In Alaska, we've got Tony Knowles, former governor of Alaska,
mm-hmm.
who's incredibly popular. I mean, Alaska is a Republican state where Tony Knowles won 2 times in a row. Running against Lisa Murkowski, who's still facing a lot of crap because her father appointed her
mm-hmm.
To the U.S. Senate, and her father, now governor, is not all that popular.
Did you say faces a lot of crap?
That's
yeah.
what she said.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
The coffee's kicking
good,
in for
good,
her.
Good.
In Oklahoma, Brad Carson, who's a congressman, is running against this guy, Tom Coburn, who the good thing for the Democrats is that the Republicans are running right-wing nuts.
Okay, yeah, right.
And this guy, Tom Coburn, I mean, it's one thing after another. I favor the death penalty for people who give abortions. I mean, he thinks that Schindler's List is pornographic. I mean, on and on, just nutty, nutty things.
Whoa. I don't even understand that one.
Yeah,
that
Schindler's List?
I'm going to have to work on that. Is pornographic?
Those are the words he used to describe it, yes.
Wow. Maybe I'd get the director's cut. Apparently, I'm missing scenes.
What porn has he been watching?
Oh, God. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. Hannah Pingree, I got to ask you. We had heard back here in New York that Tom Daschle of South Dakota, who's up for reelection, was in some trouble at a point. And I had not yet heard that incumbent Democratic Senator Patty Murray of Washington State was in trouble a little bit. Now, is Daschle okay, and is Murray really in trouble, or what's going on here?
I think these are both races that we're certainly watching. We have started raising money for Patty Murray a little while ago. I would say that I don't think either one of them are in trouble. I think they're both going to win their races. Daschle's up by a few points. Patty Murray has continued to be up by about 10 points. But, you know, these guys, remember 2002. Remember what they did to Max Cleland, attacking him
for
supporting terrorists when the guy is a veteran. Patty Murray is now being attacked on a somewhat similar front. Mads just started against her, claiming she supports terrorists
mm-hmm.
in a really offhanded kind of way. So, these guys will stoop to no level. I think What's good news for us is in 2002, Democrats really had lost hold of the message. It was, you know, shortly after 9/11, we really weren't out there fighting back. In this election, I think there's a very different sentiment. There's a lot more frustration with the Republican Congress, and I think our incumbents will be fine. I mean, the sort of you guys started talking about the lay of the land, but we have 30 Democrats who are not running for re-election. We've got 10 Democrats running for re-election who will win, like, easily. Then we have four incumbents who people talk about being competitive. Really, Daschle and Murray are probably the only ones who will have a real race. And then we have these eight competitive challenger and open seats, and then a couple others who might get competitive.
Let's talk for a minute about one of those open seats. Zell Miller's seat in Georgia. Johnny Isaacson, the Republican, is running against Denise Majetti. I know that MoveOn.org PAC has been looking very closely. MoveOnPAC.org has been looking very closely at that race. Can Denise Majetti marshal the forces of former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, who she ran against and beat just a couple of years ago? Will they come out for Denise Majetti? Because they're going to have to if she's got any chance of winning, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I've heard comments from McKinney saying, you know, she would be supportive. And I don't know how actively involved they are. I mean, obviously there's a lot of wounds left there. But I think, I mean, the Democrats, Zell Miller just came out in Georgia this past week.
He came out? Like, came out?
No, no, not that kind of came out.
Wow, yeah, that would be amazing.
That would be news.
I'm a gay man, and I just want to admit it to the people.
All right, sorry.
It would be angrier than that. He just recently wrote this letter basically saying, Democrats, every Democrat in the state, whether you're running for the legislature or whatever, run away from the top of the ticket. And he was talking about Kerry, but he was, you know, somewhat saying that Majette and these others are too liberal for Georgia, and, you know, he will not stop. So that, he's not doing us any favors. I don't really understand what the people in Georgia might be thinking about Zell Miller. I mean, we did an outreach for four women running for the U.S. Senate the day after Miller gave his Republican speech. And people were so angry. I mean, they just came online and they raised Majette $250,000 in a day. I mean, that kind of money makes a difference in a race. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, a black woman from Atlanta can't win the state of Georgia. That state's going Republican and they're never going to vote for a black woman from Atlanta. You know, we saw some polling that had this race close, giving her a competitive chance, and we wanted to give her a boost. You know, it's still an uphill battle, but we think it's a race worth paying attention to for a little while. So,
now, are you telling me that somebody returned Daschle's NADs to him? I mean, because, you know, the last I heard, they were still missing, but he's got them back.
You know, I haven't been discussing that with him recently.
All right, so tell us the website. Move On, is it MoveOnPAC.org?
MoveOnPAC.org.
If people want to get involved and be up to date with which ones are close and what has to be done and how they can help?
Yep. We have a project called Move On Members Endorse. We actually started this whole thing out by asking our members, which there are now 2.8 million of them, what races are you excited about in your states? We got back close to 20,000 nominations, so we go based on who our members are psyched about, and then we look at what races are competitive and where we can make a difference in sometimes an uphill battle.
Well, thank you so much, Hannah Pingree, for joining us. You were definitely a lively guest. If you're not used to being up at this hour, it was great talking to you.
We appreciate it,
now
for sure.
You got a little extra day to deal with.
Well, good. Thank you.
Okay, take it easy.
See you guys.
Okay, bye. 18 past the hour. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
I'm Tim Robbins. It's time to wake up with Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
We're fighting for our lives here!
LegalTees.net, the website where you'll find the t-shirts that are funny, whimsical, political, and maybe even controversial. Do you know why sharks don't attack lawyers? I speak basic. What do you speak? To find the answers, go to LegalTees.net. That's LegalTees.net. You can choose computer tees, legal tees, political tees, or custom make your own shirt. Go to LegalTees.net and decide for yourself.
You will not be considered unpatriotic if you disagree with our shirts. Crimes Against Nature, a new book by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., sets the record straight on George W. Bush, corporate greed, and the plunder of America. Crimes Against Nature makes the case that the administration has taken corporate cronyism to unprecedented heights, threatening our health, our national security, and our democracy. Al Franken calls Crimes Against Nature a passionate and devastatingly written attack on the Bush administration. Crimes Against Nature, the national bestseller by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a HarperCollins book, now available at bookstores and online at airamericaradio.com.
You will help new leaders to train their armies and get on the path of stability and democracy as quickly as possible.
If George W. Bush is reelected, he will cling to the same failed policies in Iraq.
And then our troops will return home with the honor they have earned.
And he will repeat somewhere else the same reckless mistakes that have made America less secure.
Make an informed decision. The Presidential Debate, Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern on NPR Now 106.
Out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
My name is Pat. I'm from Oklahoma City. I'm voting for John Kerry because for the first time I know what it's like to live in fear under this president.
My name is Sean. I'm a truck driver. I'm from Scott City, Missouri. I just want to let everybody out there know that they need to vote for George W. Bush in this election because Kerry will do nothing but flip-flop like he's flip-flopping now. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Dan Cordova from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I encourage everybody to get out there and vote. This next election is about the three Supreme Court justices. They're about to retire. Unless you want four Supreme Court justices going and hunting with Vice President Dick Cheney, I suggest you guys get out there and vote. We got to end the corruption in Washington. Thanks.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
We waste a lot of energy and money. Producing that energy consumes valuable resources and creates pollution. You can help by lowering your thermostat in winter and raising it in summer. Have your furnace and air conditioner serviced and cleaned. Turn your water heater down to 120 to 140 degrees. And check your refrigerator for leaky gaskets around the doors. Caulk, weather strip, and insulate walls, attics, basements, windows, doors, and pipes. These energy conservation tips are brought to you by the National Wildlife Federation.
Past the hour, it's morning sedition. I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Hey,
it is our show. It is the Mark and Mark's show.
It Marxist.
Is, as someone pointed out on an email, Mark Twain.
Well, wow, we got some literary people listening to us.
Oh, dude, when I said skewered instead of skewed yesterday, big trouble. Man, like literally there was like multiple dispatches. Somebody tell Mark that he's not skewered. Poles are not skewered. I'm sorry. I work at the Comedy Cellar a lot, and they have kebabs there. So, and I didn't even realize that. I didn't even, yeah, I'll be honest with you, I had no idea it was skewed. You know, it's not even a word in my vocabulary. Skewered is where I come from. Oh, my God, therapy today. Thank God. Here's my dream from last night. I'm at the debates. Wait. I am the debates. Because there's Bush right across from me, standing behind the podium, smirking. Jerk. I give my armpits a quick sniff. Yeah, I'm ready. I do a little thing with the hand and cup the hands. I smell my breath. I'm good. All right? Bring it on, little man, I think. We kick it off with Bob Schiffer asking me what I do about tax cuts. I'm about to give my well-researched, articulate, and subtly sarcastic response when Bush hits me in the face with a tomato. How old school is that? A tomato. I'm standing there with, like, marinara sauce all over my face. Everyone's laughing. The camera guys, my mom, Jesus, they're all busting a gut. Leslie Stahl thinks it's hilarious. Coffee spraying out of her nostrils. I start looking around for something to smack him with, all right? And then I start pulling out all this stuff out of my pockets, like Harpo Marx. Silly string, a sturgeon, a beach ball, the Ark of the Covenant, a pool table. Oh, of course, only in a dream is that possible. Bush's missing National Guard records, they come out of my pocket. Paris Hilton's underwear, an Iraqi constitution. Lindy England. I pull Lindy England out of my pocket, all right?
One by one. It's like the lead into the Bullwinkle show. You know when he pulls out. All right. One by one. All right. And I throw it all at him. All right. Lindy England dinged him right in the nads. Ah, I got him. Then monkeys scamper on stage with handfuls of their poop and throw that at him. So Bush is getting covered with poop. But then Bush has got this super soaker water gun aimed at the stream. And he just aimed it right at my eyes. The bastard. Pretty soon the air is filled with stuff from my huge bottomless pockets, and the stage is wet, and my mom is wet, and Jesus is wet, and then I heard a loud, clear voice. That was weird to say my mom is wet. I'm reading that back. That's weird. You can't. All right, anyways. Now I'm all screwed up. This dream is taking on a whole new meaning. All right. And then I hear a loud, clear voice say, step aside. I hear loud, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm wearing the shirt you got me. I step aside, and I hear a loud, clear voice. I hear a loud, clear voice say, step aside, Mark. He's mine. John Kerry steps out of the wings wearing camo face paint and a necklace of ears. He takes out an enormous Crocodile Dundee knife, walks over to Bush, and removes his scalp with one swift stroke. All right, Kerry looked at me with cold, pitiless eyes. No more talking, he said, and walked off with a handful of bloody hair. I woke up and my bed was filled with Ohio, Florida, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, which apparently I'd been keeping in my pockets. Where are we? Is it the end of the show?
Where are we?
Can I just go home? I'm all weirded out.
Let's see.
A little weirdy.
Toby from Hollywood, Florida. Oh, sorry.
No. Mike, I don't understand what's so funny. I'm wearing your shirt, Mom. I'm wearing a shirt, and it looks
great, man.
Thank you very much.
Looks really nice.
Got me a plaid shirt for the 10th year in a row for my birthday. A plaid shirt of some sort. Here's some... all right. Let's get back into reality. Welcome back. Here we go. The debates. What about it, Mark Riley? So a lot of things... It's amazing to me. This is a great piece from the... International Herald Tribune here about all the little things that go into debates that have nothing to do with debating. You know what I mean? Like the face, right? The guy's face. This is something they can't really do anything about it, but it has a tremendous amount of impact. You know what I mean? People in this article, it says, quote, this is Carolyn Keating, a professor of psychology at Colgate University,
mm-hmm.
who studied status cues transmitted by facial features. Wait a minute. Am I hallucinating? Or did the Reverend Al Sharpton just walk into our studio?
Facial features. Speaking of facial features.
You look sharp, man.
Your reverendness.
Your mockedness.
So how you doing?
Good morning.
How are you, Mark?
What's up?
Nice to meet you.
Your double bucket.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How y'all doing this
morning? I'm good, man. Doing all right.
How
man?
Are you doing?
I'm great. I'm on my way to Miami for the great showdown.
So oh, you go. You know, I must have conjured him because I was thinking last night. I said, well, I wonder what role Reverend Al is playing in the Kerry campaign. What have you been doing?
I've been working the battleground states. Last weekend, I did three cities in Michigan. The weekend before that, three cities in Ohio. And the weekend before that, Missouri. So I've been doing a lot of battleground states. But tonight, I'm doing a lot of commentary at the debates. I'm on my way to the airport, and I was on the other side, and I figured I'd come by.
On the other side of what?
I was here on WBLS.
Never mind them.
So, Reverend Sharpton, is there any chance that you could tag team? Like, you know, you could carry him away. You could just hold his hand up, and you go in and just
step
in?
The only fear of my tag team is that they would probably call Karl Rove right on stage to help Bush out. I mean, my hope is that with no Karl Rove, no Dick Cheney, nobody there to tell him what to do, that Kerry's got to, in 90 minutes, be able to break through this guy's script. That's what we're all depending on.
I think it's going to happen. Do you feel
I do. You know, I have the advantage. I've been telling people in the media, I debated John Kerry 32 times. And a lot of people are talking about what he can and can't do. They ought to talk to those of us that were on the stage with him. Kerry is a good debater.
Yeah, what's his tactic?
He sneaks up on you. I mean, he does not appease. You know, he's very genteel in his demeanor, but he can fire. And you don't see it coming.
All of a sudden, you just feel you've been hit?
Yeah. I think Bush ought to look at the Roy Jones Jr. boxing team. From Saturday.
See, another boxing metaphor.
So, Reverend Sharpton, can you stick around for a minute?
I got to go. I'll miss my plane. And then y'all say, Sharpton blew the debate. He's incompetent.
You got just 1 second. Let's do one break.
Yeah,
and hang out.
Yeah.
We'll be back
hang
with Al Sharpton
minute.
In just
all
a second,
right.
Riley.
Yeah, we got we got you on the phone. 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270 on Air America Radio.
Nice.
We'll be right back.
The mortgage company said no to our refi. We'll have to hold off payment on some bills, penalties, credit report damage. Let me get this straight. I can't actually need the money I want to borrow.
How would you like to hear the word yes in as little as 20 minutes?
That'd be great.
Omega Mortgage Acceptance Corporation specializes in helping homeowners just like you.
They understand what I'm going through?
Yeah. Omega Mortgage has lowered payments, consolidated debt, and put cold, hard cash in the hands of hundreds of homeowners just like you. It's what they do, and they're proud of it.
But I've had mortgage late.
No problem. Even bankruptcies, foreclosures, they don't even want your tax returns. Lots less paperwork and cash in your hands, lots faster.
I could save hundreds of dollars every month.
That's right. In fact, by calling 888-32-APPLY, you'll be on your way to saving thousands of dollars. Call right now. 888-32-APPLY. Licensed by Cal DRE number 01411312. Get approved in as little as 20 minutes. Call 888-32-APPLY. Dial 888-322-7759. That's 888-32-APPLY.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Washington Post reports this morning the Bush administration is trying to reshape American public opinion about the war in Iraq. Paper says there's a recruitment drive underway for Iraqi Americans to deliver good news about Iraq. In recent weeks, John Kerry has been slamming Bush, squarely pinning blame on the president for the war in Iraq. John Edwards, hot on the campaign trail yesterday, sharply criticized Dick Cheney over a published report in which Cheney warned 12 years ago of getting bogged down in Iraq. Edwards says the worst part of the report was that Cheney knew back then how dangerous it was. Cheney at the time was Secretary of Defense. Government in Great Britain is ready to listen to the kidnappers of National Ken Bigley, who was last seen on broadcast footage from Al Jazeera, again begging Prime Minister Tony Blair to do something to spare his life. And President Bush told television's Dr. Phil that it's awfully difficult for parents to urge their children not to drink and drive when they do. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
From New Orleans.
Touchdown! And the Saints have retaken the lead.
To Oakland.
Touchdown! Raiders!
And from Florida.
He made the grab! Touchdown, Jacksonville!
To Washington.
10-5, touchdown, Washington Redskins.
Every game, every week, everywhere. Go to Sirius.com for the full game schedule and for live 24-7 football. Tune in to Sirius NFL Radio 124.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Last week, I made heavenly matches between my favorite cars and your sun signs. When I come back, the final two carscopes, Aquarius and Pisces. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Here are carscopes for Aquarius and Pisces. Aquarius, water bearers kick conventional wisdom to the curb and groove on Lexus's RX 400H, causing tidal waves of excitement. This SUV, a full hybrid that morphs from gas or electric only mode to a combo of both, fascinates freedom-loving Aquarians, and its zero-emissions design appeals to their inner flower child. Pisces, fishes, the world's your oyster as you swim out of those scales and behind the tortoise-shell steering wheel of Chrysler's 300C. But unlike Pisces, this car has generous leg and trunk room, and a hands-free Uconnect voice-activated cell phone will really come in handy. Oh, and can you say Hemi? I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Back, it's 33 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We're here on Morning's Edition. The Reverend Al Sharpton just dropped by on his way to the airport. So how would you handle Bush tonight? I mean, you know, what,
I would
where
go out early and from question one, I would start swinging. In fact, I would, if I was John Kerry, whatever they ask, I would say, I respect your question. I'll get to that. And I'd like right in the Bush. I would set the tone early. I wouldn't answer anything. I'd go right after him. Because I think he has to take charge early, put Bush on the defensive, and get the attention of the American public that this is a real election, what is at stake, and that these guys have been trying to demonize me rather than deal with the issues. He needs to do that from the opening bell.
Yeah, I definitely think you're right. And the great thing is,
is that with all the information coming out of Iraq, you know, Bush really looks like he lives in a dream world.
He does. And I think that he has to expose him as living in a dream world by raising the information, giving the data, giving the statistics, and letting this guy act like this all doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, the more he can do that, I think you'll see a momentum develop tonight that will bring us into the White House and George Bush to Crawford, Texas.
Yeah. Now, Rev, I got to ask him this.
Go for it.
I talk to a lot of different people. There are still some black folks in particular who aren't feeling John Kerry. Why not?
I think that a lot of it is the campaign has not been handled in a way that connects with a lot of our community. And I think that John Kerry has post-Clinton syndrome in a lot of the black community. He's not Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. Bill Clinton, in my opinion, had policies that I didn't agree with, but he knew how to relate to black audiences. It was natural for him to go to a black church or to go down the street and holler. John Kerry is a different type of person, though I think he's a good person. I mean, I've spent time with him. I've campaigned with him. But it's just a difference in styles. I also think he has to be more affirmative in raising the critical issues that blacks are concerned about. He's got to talk about blacks have more young men in jail than in college. He's got to talk about affirmative action to be gone if George Bush appoints the next two Supreme Court justices. He's got to connect to the issues. But the other thing I say to the black community as I travel around the country is nobody should have to turn you on when you know what's at stake here. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, you know, we use the boxing metaphor about Roy Jones. Can you imagine Roy Jones laying on the mat Saturday night saying, well, I'm not getting up, the referee don't turn me on? I mean, we're knocked out. We don't need somebody to turn us on to get up.
Brett, real quickly, the Democrats, are they properly prepared to contest the state of Florida if we have a repeat of 2000? The Kerry people say yes. We've talked to various Democrats, including Terry McAuliffe, who say yes. Are they really ready? Because some people are saying they're not.
I did a bus tour of Florida 3 weeks ago with Kendrick Meek, the congressman of Miami, and Corrine Brown up in Jacksonville. They're working on it. I am not yet 100% comfortable that it's tight. I intend to meet with them while I'm in Miami later today.
All right. Now, your birthday's coming up this weekend.
Yes.
Happy 57th?
50. No, it's birthday. You know, Mark always wants people to join him.
The old age line in the AARP brochure?
I just turned 37 again.
Really?
Yeah. It's a fourth year running.
Well, Mark did that for about 20 years.
Wait a minute.
The Air America audience doesn't know that. The old LIB audience, knows that we celebrate at least 20, 37 birthdays for Mark Riley.
Well, you know how it is when you get a little older. What can you do? So, Rev, what's next for you? Is there any political, do you have any political aspirations? You're not running for president anymore. What about the Senate? What about Congress?
Well,
what about...
what's next for me is my birthday, Sunday. We're reopening the House of Justice. I want to rebuild the National Action Network, and I'm going to write a book, and I'm doing some TV stuff, but I'm really going to concentrate on the network, and we'll see what role I can be helpful in getting rid of Bloomberg in New York and several other mayoral races around the country. I'm very happy we've been able to build a national force, and I hope it will be under a Kerry administration that we will be organizing.
You're going to be a thorn in his side?
I will be a thorn on whoever's side is there if they're on the wrong side.
Now, you think this weekend James Brown is coming in?
James Brown, Foxy Brown, Puffy Combs. I mean, it's going to be a lot of people coming by to say hello. Some are going to sing. Some are going to make speeches. But it's free at the Apollo, 3 o'clock this Sunday.
So is Riley going?
He doesn't invite me to his birthday parties anymore.
I do have two seats left in the senior section. His wife just has to sit there to be with him.
See,
see, I know why he celebrated 37, 20 years. He forgot. I mean, when you get a certain age, you actually start forgetting how old you are.
See, Reverend, you know what? Reverend Sharp, thanks for being with us. Right?
I'm talking to this mom. You guys take care of him.
All right, Reverend. You take care, Reverend.
Take care. Thanks for stopping by.
All right.
I guess we could go out, too, and take a break now, right? All right. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
You train after class every afternoon. With tireless passion and perspiration, you shake your pom-poms, all in awe of Saturday's game day. That's your day, your turn to get the crowd roaring. because you're Bert Buckman, male cheerleader.
Ready? Okay!
Cheer on your favorite college team. The top NCAA games are on Sirius. Go to Sirius.com for the full broadcast game schedule.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Hi, this is Brian from Massachusetts, and I want to urge everybody to go out and vote November 2nd. But do yourself a favor. Don't believe the talk radio. Don't believe the TV. Don't believe the magazines and the newspapers. Don't believe the internet blogs. These guys have both been in politics for a long time. Go out and do the research. Find out for yourself.
Hey, it's Whitney from Mansfield, Texas. I think that everyone should get out and vote because it's a really cool thing to know that you have a say in what goes on in the government, and you never know. Your one little vote could make the difference.
This is Sue Cohen from Rockville, Maryland. I encourage all Americans to get out and vote. Do not let this opportunity pass you by. Get out and vote. Thank you very much.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah. Well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad, he eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
You love the game. You love your team. And you love your friends and family. So to get home safely, you hand off your keys to a sober designated driver. America's all-star team of sports leagues, stadium service partners, brewers, broadcasters, and traffic safety experts thank the sober designated drivers who make sure you buckle up and get home safely. For more information on techniques for effective alcohol management, visit www.teamcoalition.org.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey!
It's Morning's Edition. You're listening to Air America Radio. It's very nice of the Reverend Al Sharpton to drop by. That completely surprised me.
Yeah, it was a great surprise, except he dogged me.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. It was good heart.
You guys get that. I know. Yeah, we go back.
That was nice. 866-303-2270. Call us up. What's on your mind? What's going on? Right now, it's time to talk about this. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 93. Leaders of Iraq. Oh, yes. Good morning. Okay, yes, I get it. It's nice. So as you know, we're having our debates tonight, and you've got your own presidential elections coming up in January, so you might want to pay close attention to how this works. Of course, you'll have to go to someone's house who has electricity. Hey, come on, the joke. Debates are important because they give the electorate both sides of the issues. All right, okay, it's in theory. It gives both sides of the issues. In actuality, the debates give privileged Yaleys a chance to work out comedy material to prove how much like us they are. First, you'll need a moderator, preferably someone from the news media whom you trust. Okay, yeah, I see your point. Maybe you could find an unbiased cleric or something. Okay, all right. We'll pick somebody for you. I can't win here. Each candidate gets 2 minutes to answer a pointed question about an important issue. Then the other guy gets to respond, only he doesn't really respond, and the first guy doesn't really answer the question. They take turns reciting things they've written ahead of time and throwing in smarmy one-liners to try to earn points with the people who are already voting for them. Then media pundits declare a winner based on how tired they are and whose dinner didn't sit well with them. And that's how we choose our presidents. Some people say this system doesn't work, but I say we're bringing it here anyways. So good luck and God bless. This is Day 92 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Jane in Houston, Texas. Good morning.
Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Morning, Mark. I'm fine. I'm a morning person.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Earlier you were talking to Al Sharpton, and then I turned on my radio. I got here at work when Wayne Gilman was saying the news and talking about the Jackson guy from the secretary and, like, making fun of Reverend Jackson about scaring people, the young kids.
Yeah.
I need to tell Carrie, he doesn't need to worry. Every weekend at an urban mall here in Houston, Texas, I've been registering black Americans to vote, and they're ranging from 18 to 25, and not one has a nice thing to say about Bush.
Well, that's good. That's definitely encouraging.
It is. I was shocked. I mean, I'm a very positive person, but these kids have been so negative, but I've been feeding off of it, and yeah. It's been fun.
Now, do you think they're going to actually come out and vote, Jane?
We're still at the mall. We're going to be there. The manager at the mall hates Bush, and so he gave us a free storefront. My Harris County Democratic store. We have a Harris County Democratic Satellite Center there.
That's great.
And we're going to be there, and we're going to take them to the polls, because we do early voting here in Texas, and there's a polling place, like, pretty much around the corner. So we're going to be driving them to the polls. It's just a mall where young black American kids hang out.
Well, that's great. That's
we're
great.
We're taking them. We're taking
fantastic.
Them.
You're taking, not only are you taking it to the people, you're taking the people to the polls.
Yes.
That's great.
Excellent.
Thanks for calling, Jane.
Thanks.
Good
take
news.
Take care, Jane.
That's taking action. That's great. There should be carpooling. There should actually be, like, you know, if you know who the registered voters are, but you're not sure if they're going to vote, they should have that list and just send vans out and get in front of the people's apartment like, nah, nah, nah.
You know where they did that?
Where?
In Michigan in 1968, and Jesse Jackson ended up taking the caucuses that year.
Wow.
Because they went out into people, into the public housing, into all these different places. And Mark, this is the big X factor of the election. Nobody, not pollsters, not gas bags, not pundits, none of them count voters who are either new or whose preferences they're not absolutely certain of. And if you start registering large numbers of new people, as Jane mentioned, going on in Houston, going on in Michigan, going on in Ohio, going on in Florida, all of these new people taken together represent something that the pollsters will not touch until after the election.
Yeah, there's no way for them to assess these numbers. The polls mean nothing. I mean, given, like you were saying, in Florida, there's a 250% increase in registering Democrats.
Yes.
I mean, that's mind-blowing. It just goes to show you that it's all about the unregistered people, the undecided people. On some level, that's sort of a myth. Those are just, you know, dumb people that don't know, you know what's going on, or they're just waiting to the last minute for whatever reason, because they're like, I think that Bush smells nice, you know whatever. But the people that are registering now and the people that are mobilizing, that's very important. If you haven't registered, you got to do it. I've been that guy who hasn't registered because I just didn't make the time to, you know, fill out a form.
Me too.
You know, yeah, absolutely. And you got to do it. You can go to morningsedition.com and see under register to vote and get some information. Their deadlines are coming up. It's important you do it. And then it's important to go vote. But the first step is registration. That has to happen in the next week or two. We've got a call from Mauricio in Florida. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Mauricio.
Hi, you guys. How you doing?
Good.
All right.
Big, big fan. Listen, it's funny, Mark, you just said that. What I was calling about, I saw a poll on CNN yesterday where Kerry's up 5 points in Ohio among registered voters and down 2 points among likely voters. I think Michael Moore was the first person to kind of point this out. There's so many new registrations. There's so many people off the grid politically that these polls are skewed. They're not showing properly. I mean, how can you be 5 points up among registered voters and 2 points down?
Yeah, and I saw that poll, too, and I'm like, what does that even mean? I mean, it's like it was such a ridiculous, you know, number. It's like, what is that, you know, people more likely to vote and registered people? How do they even figure out that ratio?
I believe likely voters are people who voted in the last two or three elections.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they weren't registered, right? The people who are registered, new registered voters, weren't registered then, so the whole poll is useless.
Right. Well, so many people have been mobilized by Bush and his policies. They're just coming out in droves.
Yeah, yeah. Against him. He's mobilizing.
Well, yeah, and see, Mark.
Thanks, Mauricio.
The key thing is that pollsters only deal, or they try to deal with what they know, and that's registered voters, likely voters. They don't deal with new registrants, and they could. They could very easily. If people are registering people in shopping malls, you don't think pollsters could find those people and find out how they're going to vote? But they don't do it on purpose because they deal with an existing pool because their purpose is other than just to show a reflection of where the electorate is.
I think all pollsters should be skewered. It's 48 past the hour, Air America Radio. I got an idea. Just a reminder, I don't want to pressure you, but you got to do this soon, all right? Register to vote, please. You can do it on morningsedition.com where it says register to vote. Thank you.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Stop whining. Analysts say this is just the beginning. Millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. But it's good for the U.S. economy, according to Donahue. Good for the U.S. economy? Are they kidding? These high-tech jobs were supposed to be the jobs of the future. Jobs with good pay and good benefits. Now, millions are at risk. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that encourage companies to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize so they have strength at the bargaining table when it comes to salary, health care and pension benefits, and working conditions. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age, and proud supporter of Air America.
May 2004. Friends is the number one show on TV. The Mets are in the pennant race. And we're just about to find those pesky weapons of mass destruction.
On a massive scale.
11:15 one night on Raw Dog Sirius 147.
It's Bill inviting you to join me for Getting Late's 100th episode spectacular. Adam Sandler, Jamie Foxx, George Lopez.
The Getting Late 100th episode spectacular. Friday night at 11:15 on Raw Dog Sirius 147.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving. And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Floods and flash floods can strike almost anywhere. Many people don't know that the severe damage to homes and property caused by floodwaters is not covered by homeowners insurance. Protect yourself and your family from catastrophic financial loss due to flood damage. Learn more about the National Flood Insurance Program by calling 1-800-427-4661. 1-800-427-4661. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Yeah, but what do I know, really? It's 52 past the hour. It's Mark Maron here on Air America Radio with Mark Riley.
Yo!
This is Morning Sedition. Here's a favorite for the believers. The Bible's Book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with MILF Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Petaluma, California. Your Grace?
Hear my voice, idolaters, sucklers at the teats of beasts, and every guy named Ron in Hoboken. The end times are nigh, near, upon us, close at hand, in the vicinity or proximity thereof, or you could say, propinquent. Yeah, I bought a new thesaurus, so shut your pie holes. Your death is rapidly approaching us. Last hebdomad, or week, I told you about a 5-foot fiberglass Jesus that washed ashore in Mexico. Before that, I revealed how John Kerry sends secret messages to Al-Qaeda with his tie. And before that, I debuted my theory on the satanic relationship between a recently discovered 86-acre fungus growing in Europe and Gorbachev's birthmark. I would now like to retract that last one. I was up late, deadline was approaching, and I panicked. went with the first thing that popped into my mind. Sue me! Anyway, I'm here to tell you for the last time, prepare to be raptured, hedonites. For according to my favorite source for news, the Internet, a Spanish company has set up a whole website where people who want to send an email after they die can do so for a price. Their soul and the initial $11 registration fee. The dead are rising. Yes, for it was prophesied in Revelation 36:24-36. Hubba, hubba. Yea, and it will come to pass that a satanic myrmidon by the nameth of Al Gore will invent a vast collection of interconnected networks using TCP/IP protocols. And then dead people will use it to email their relatives. The end. Not the original ancient Greek, but really, who's keeping track? Like I said, sometimes a deadline comes around and I panic. The important thing to know is it's too late for most of you. As for yours truly, it's only a matter of hours before your humble interlocutor and his beloved hamster, Peanut, are whisked off to heaven to sit at the throne of God and his hamster. So keep on fornicating, fornicators, and we'll keep the light on for you in hell.
Thank you, Cardinal. It's always good to see you.
Petaluma, huh?
That's right, fornicators. I guess I'll leave now.
Don't take those headphones. Bye, Cardinal.
See ya.
Oh, my God. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, back in the studio to talk about Bruce Springsteen.
Hey, guys.
What's the most insane fan-like behavior you've ever, you know, sort of expressed in relation to Bruce Springsteen?
Expressed?
Well, I don't... What?
I'll tell you...
What, partaken in...
When I...
I did.
Saw,
done.
When I saw Bruce Springsteen in Chicago, I had general admission floor seats. I arrived for the show 4 hours early with the doors opening 2 hours before showtime. I had to spend 4 hours standing in line, 2 more hours standing on the floor before the show started, and 3 consecutive hours standing for the concert.
But that just went by like heaven, though, right?
It did, although I've never actually been sore from a concert.
Yeah?
Except for that one time.
Wow.
It was intense.
Did you ever write Bruce a fan letter?
No. I prefer to worship him from afar.
Did you ever have that moment where, like, he was looking at me, man?
Yes. And it was magical.
Uh-oh. So what's the inside line?
Well, I got some important information here for our listeners all across the country, not only pertaining to Bruce Springsteen. The big Vote for Change tour to benefit MoveOn.org's America Coming Together is kicking off in earnest tomorrow night, and there are still tickets left in many of our affiliate cities and across the country. We posted a link at MorningSedition.com's recommended links to the full list, but a couple ones I want to highlight. Pearl Jam is playing in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh.
Our friends listening at WPEK 880 AM in Asheville. Pearl Jam's coming. There's still tickets available.
Did that excite you as much as Bruce?
Not as much, but it's exciting.
Okay.
It's exciting. It's Asheville's backyard. Dave Matthews Band, Ben Harper, and Jurassic 5, 3 bands I'm a big fan of, coming to Madison, Wisconsin.
Well, you're a Dave Matthews fan?
Yes.
What's up with
get
that
out.
Guy? I don't get it.
Dude, Dave Matthews...
I don't get it. I mean, maybe I didn't miss that whole era of the jam band or something.
Yeah, well, early on in Dave Matthews' days when he was like the jam band, one of the kings, I actually like went on tour for a brief period with Dave Matthews' band. I was hardcore, man.
You were one of those guys that's sort of like, dude, I got two for Tuesday.
I got like... Dude, I got like 200 hours of tapes in my parents' basement in Jersey.
Dave Matthews?
It's true.
But I'm Dave Passman master mix.
I remain a huge Ben Harper fan, and those guys are all coming to Madison, Wisconsin. WXXM 92.1 FM, our friends in Madison, still tickets available for that show. John Mellencamp in Miami and in Columbus, Ohio. WINZ in Miami. We have an affiliate there. WTPG in Columbus, Ohio. We have an affiliate there. Tickets still available for those shows. So check out the link. Dixie Chicks also in Detroit, which is not far from Ann Arbor. WLBY in Ann Arbor, our affiliate.
Cool. All right.
So check out the link on MorningSedition.com. Support that tour. The money goes to MoveOn.org for voter registration and turnout.
Thanks, Dan Pashman, Son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, New Jersey. What do we got next hour there, Riley?
Next hour, we've got the latest from Iraq with our good friend Borzu Daragahi, media critic Mark Crispin Miller on tonight's debate, and you on the telephones, all coming up here on Air America Radio.
We'll be right back.
get serious about your vote.
This is Bob from Chicago, and we got to get Bush out of the White House. I am definitely voting for John Kerry because I don't want to spend my twilight years living in the United States of Nazi Germany. Is that too much to ask?
This is Julie in Los Angeles, and anyone who thinks Kerry isn't talking about the issues or that both candidates have the same plan isn't paying attention. This election is so important. Please give it some real thought and get out and vote. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Tom in Missouri. I'm voting for John Kerry in the upcoming presidential election. George Bush and the people who tell him what to do have botched everything they've gotten their hands on.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius. Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite fresh.
Satellite fresh.
Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. As the Bush administration attempts to place a positive spin on the crisis in Iraq with the use of Iraqi Americans to deliver what they call good news, there appears to be no end to the bad news. Violence driven by insurgents determined to maintain political instability. Authorities this morning report the death of another American soldier along with two Iraqi police officers in a suicide bombing at a government complex west of Baghdad. Iraqi and coalition force officials say that more than 60 people were wounded by the car bomb in the Abu Ghraib area, including three other U.S. troops. Later in Baghdad, police said car bomb exploded as a U.S. military convoy was passing by. All eyes are focused on tonight's debate in Florida between George W. Bush and John Kerry. Some pundits believe it will be the first litmus test of the campaign to break the current deadlock, and most polls showing the presidential contest as dead even. Former Democratic presidential candidate and veteran activist the Reverend Al Sharpton has advice for John Kerry. Sharpton says Kerry should hit the ground running the minute Bush opens his mouth.
From question one, I would start swinging. In fact, I would, if I was John Kerry, whatever they ask, I would say, I respect your question, I'll get to that, and I'd like right in the bush. I would set the tone early. I wouldn't answer anything. I'd go right after him. Because I think he has to take charge early, put Bush on the defensive, and get the attention of the American public that this is a real election, what is at stake, and that these guys have been trying to demonize me rather than deal with the issues. He needs to do that from the opening bell.
Reverend Al Sharpton, as he appeared in America's Mornings Edition with Mark Maron and Mark Rowley in the past hour. Bush-Cheney campaign deployed Housing and Urban Development Secretary Alfonso Jackson to condemn the work of another Jackson who happens to be a prominent black Democrat known for energizing his party's black base. Secretary Jackson yesterday charged veteran civil rights leader and former presidential candidate, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, and other black political leaders of spreading a message of victimization, prompting most blacks to vote Democratic. HUD Secretary Jackson is calling on President Bush to focus his campaign on younger blacks who did not grow up in the civil rights era, fearing that older, mature blacks have been conditioned. With Election Day just over 4 weeks away, several military families whose loved ones died in Iraq are going after Bush with a television ad. The ad is sponsored by the group RealVoices.org, who happened to support Kerry's candidacy. Family members basically say that American people need to know that we have been betrayed by the rush to war. One of the family members says in the ad that it is important that we get our troops home from Iraq as soon as possible so no other family has to go through what they've had to experience. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
May 2004. Friends is the number one show on TV. The Mets are in the pennant race. And we're just about to find those pesky weapons of mass destruction.
On a massive scale.
Then, 11:15 one night on Raw Dog Sirius 147.
Hey, it's Phil inviting you to join me for Getting Late's 100th episode spectacular. Adam Sandler, Jamie Foxx, George Lopez.
The Getting Late 100th episode spectacular. Friday night at 11:15 on Raw Dog Sirius 147.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lacus with today's Car Clinic Minute. White, pure perfection. Well, you can retire that idea. When I come back, I'll color your world where the rubber meets the road. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first, until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com.
Ebony and ivory. Paul McCartney crooned about, what else? Tires. Believe it or not, the first car tires were white. But in 1864, a manufacturer aiming to distinguish his lackluster tires commissioned Joseph Binney, founder of the Peekskill Chemical Company, to produce one in silver gray. Chemists discovered that by adding carbon black to the rubber, they not only concocted a unique, darker tire, but also fashioned one that lasted 5 times longer than its pale counterpart. But the splash of color didn't fade there. Benny's company later exploded into the Skittles rainbow, known as Benny and Smith, makers of Crayola crayons. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Hey, this is June. I'm from Lancaster, South Carolina. It's important to vote because we are the future. We make Sirius happen.
Woo! This is Rick calling from Georgia, and I just feel this election is all about maintaining the personal freedoms and civil liberties we have, and we just need to get out and vote and make sure that we address our needs.
This is Lucy Pond calling from Austin, Texas. I just want to tell everybody it's important that y'all get out there and vote because we want to choose the right leader, not the wrong one, and have a great president to represent our country.
My name is Joan. I'm from New Jersey. I'm voting for John Kerry in November. I hope that all of you, regardless of your beliefs, get out there and exercise this very special right, and I hope you vote for John Kerry.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, man boys, women girls, self-medicators.
Where?
Now I'm talking like Milfington. Condescending, self-righteous, progressive utopians with no sense of humor and no real friends. Welcome. You're our friend here. And you know why we like you? We like you because you probably don't like us for some very specific, unimportant reason. I love that about people. I love my ability to get under people's skin very easily. Like, for instance, our producer, Ignatius.
Ignatius J. Larson.
Ignatius J. Larson. But he pretends like I don't bother him. It takes a lot of effort.
You work at this, though, don't you? You really do work at this.
No, I just, you know, I have a resistance to hierarchies, and I have a resistance to jobs. You know, like, I spent a lot of my life as a self-employed person, Mark Riley.
I understand.
And as a self-employed person, you don't, you know, really operate in the same rules that other people operate on. And this whole, like, you know, working with other people thing, as much as I like it, some days I don't behave properly.
Now, does that mean that, like, you, in your previous life, you just could, like, wake up and say, well, no, I don't feel like doing that today, so I'm going to go back to sleep.
Yeah, definitely. There was a lot of that. Or there was also a lot of like, man, I'm going to do all of this today.
Oh, like
and then
that,
the sitting down, the surrender, and just looking at the things you need to do, and then the watching of the TV, and then the slow drift off into the nap at 11 in the afternoon. And then I'm just going to go to the coffee shop, have some coffee, and read the paper. That's 4 hours.
Then the you phone know, rings. Mr. Maron, the limo's outside. Mr. Maron?
The limo thing didn't start till recently. I used to get so excited when I, you know, like when I first started doing Conan O'Brien and stuff, like they'd send a car and literally I was that guy getting the car and like, wow, can we go anywhere? You know, are you going to drive me home too, mister? But you know, here at Air America, it's nice that they fly me in by helicopter in the middle of the night. That's the funnest thing, is landing on top of the building. And they do that for you too, Riley. You can get in after a little before me, right?
Yeah, but I'm scared of heights, so I drive.
Fall is here. Don't you love that Christmas in the air? For some reason, for me, fall just triggers all these sort of weird kind of, you know, that weird mixture of nostalgic, melancholy, but joyful moments in your life. There's something about fall that to me is just like, it makes me excited. It makes me feel like things are going to, there's hope.
Well, things are getting busy. That's the whole thing. The fall season is when, you know, everybody shakes off all the vacation from summer. People, you know, kind of shake the, well, I'm not going to do anything today. And suddenly you look up and your calendar is full of stuff that you didn't know was there 2 weeks ago.
I just like it because it's crisp and cool, you know, and there's something about it in my head. Like, I always fell in love in the fall. I'm not a fall in love in spring kind of guy. When I was a guy, younger, fall to me was like when love happened, you know, when it's gray, and, you know, everything's dying once a year.
Uh-huh.
To me, that's like, that's the love time. So we got some new polls in, which are always very important. This is a
team. Are they?
Oh, of course. Okay. This is the Teen People poll. By a 5-4 margin, most voters would rather vote for Bush than Kerry if you were dating Britney Spears. But a whopping 84% said they would disapprove if Bush and Spears said they were married but weren't, like, technically married yet. 28% of Republican Teen People readers would prefer to see Bush replace Cheney on the ticket with Ryan Atwood. And 24% of Democratic Teen People readers would prefer to see Kerry running with Luke Ward. You know what's funny about these? I had actually, you know, once, you know, they came up with these, I'm like, who the hell are those people? That's how out of the loop I am. But more importantly, Psychology Today, I just read this poll that I filled it out. But, you know, Bush is president for 4 more years. How does that make you feel?
Awful. Just,
okay, good. Kerry is not elected president. Will you blame your mother? No.
No.
Okay.
Actually, today's my mother, my late sainted mother's birthday.
Here's a sophomoric, immature poll.
Uh-oh.
This is, I can't believe this.
Go ahead and believe it.
This is from Jugs Magazine, this poll.
I can't believe it.
And the question in Jugs is, which candidate would you rather mash together with your hands, Bush or Kerry? Which...
I guess that must have been asked of Jugs models.
Which candidate would you rather suck on, Bush or Kerry?
Nothing.
All right. Which candidate would you rather mash your face into while going... Bush or Kerry?
No.
Wow, Riley, you didn't even... You're like, I'm checking out on that one.
No.
I ain't going there. I'm not
I ain't no
it.
Jenna Jameson.
I am playing. Let me tell you something. Folks, if the debates don't work out tonight the way you want them, if you don't feel like these guys are showing up, if you feel like it's over-scripted, it's not happening, they've neutered these guys, they've taken away their nads by all the rules and regulations, we are challenging a Republican to come into this studio and wrestle one of our hosts. We are challenging you to come in. If you want to see some real nads, if you really want to go at it, you want to hit the mat, then you come down here. This is the right place. MorningSedition.com if you want to be part of this Republican guy. All right? There you go.
Mr. GOP.
Yeah.
Punk.
How about that? Come wrestle one of our hosts. How about that? Let's see what you got. Yeah. So what else is going on, Riley? Come on, man.
Well, look, the debates are tonight. Everybody knows it. Everybody's eagerly awaiting. I'm sure both candidates are prepping as we speak, getting ready for this whole event that Reverend Al Sharpton should be about at the airport by now for his trip to Miami to do the punditry thing. So here's what we have as far as stakes are concerned.
Okay.
The presidency of the United States. Let's make it real simple. George W. Bush, if he blows this, yes, he'll have two other chances in the subsequent debates to try and win it back. But it's going to be difficult for him. John Kerry, I think, has, you know, when you see people on television, Mark, and you kind of see, hey, he's got it, and he's gonna make it happen.
I've seen that once in my career with me. after 20 years, there was a moment where I watched my second letterman appearance, and I said, "Wow, that's it. Good."
Yeah. I've been looking at Kerry lately, and Kerry looks as if he's finally got shaken off that wooden kind of Ichabod Crane persona that people had kind of attached to him. He looks looser now. Maybe it's because he's not wearing a tie as often when I see him on the stump, but he really looks like he understands and realizes what he has to do to win this thing. And that's 90% of the ballgame. You know, again, not to use sports metaphors around people that don't like sports, but the bottom line is, you know, if you don't know what game you're playing, if you come to a basketball court with shoulder pads on, you're in trouble.
can't play the game.
It's amazing with the things that people look at in a debate that have nothing to do with debating, just how these guys aren't, you know, paralyzed in self-consciousness, you know?
Yeah.
Bush is a very narcissistic, vain guy. You know, he's not very deep. He's a bully. He's smug. He's arrogant. He's got an attitude. But, you know, outside of that, I think he's like, you know, do I look fat? I really think that he's sort of a vain kind of like exercise addict. And, you know, and apparently it comes right down. These guys have to be aware of their hand gestures, the color of suit they're wearing, the tie, the haircut. They've got to watch their facial expressions. I mean, that would drive me nuts. But I guess after a certain period of time, you get professional at this.
Well, see, Bush has this reputation, rightly or wrongly, earned or unearned, as some sort of a debating savant, a guy who can just turn it on in debate. Yeah, he may stutter over OBGYNs. Yeah, he may say, you know, our enemies are done, and so do we. But when it comes to debating, the guy, and this is mainly because the perception was that he cleaned Al Gore's clock in 2000. I never bought that. But there were a lot of pundits that came out of that first 2000 debate, the one that most people watched, and said that because George W. Bush didn't trip over his words as badly as normal, that he won the debate. And that's the risk that Kerry has now, that the Republicans have so diminished expectations out of their own guy, the incumbent, that anything less than a John Kerry slam dunk will be seen as a victory for Bush. And that's not fair, but this is politics, and politics is never fair.
But I think Kerry's got some humility, and he's clever. And I think that if he plays this right, and he twists things right, he's gonna be able to take Bush down. He's going to be able to make him look stupid. He's going to be able to look like he's delusional, that he's lying. I think there's a lot of holes in the Bush argument, in the Bush presentation. And I think if Kerry just does what he does and stays, you know, uses that Kerry edge, which he, you know, has been showing up with, I think we can do it.
Three words, destroy the message. George W. Bush is going to be on message tonight. We know that as certainly as we know today is September 30th. He is going to stick to his story. Iraq is doing well. The economy is doing well. You know, we're pushing into this whole ownership thing. And John Kerry, I think rather than go after Bush, the person, go after Bush's message because it's false.
Yeah,
it is blatantly and patently false. So destroy it.
And everybody can see that. I mean, it's becoming really clear. Just in, you know, juxtaposing what Bush says with mainstream news coverage, it becomes clear that, you know, he's got nothing and that he's living in this delusional fantasy of what he wants. And it's almost like he's hypnotizing people. It's like, everything's good. Everything's good. Terror, we're winning. Terror. Exactly.
Yeah.
It really feels like that. We're going to come back with Borzu Dargahi in Baghdad. We're going to talk to Mark Crispin Miller in the studio. We've got a good hour planned for you. It's 16 past Air America Radio. Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog, too.
The Chicago Underground Daily calls it an amazing cinematic wonder, spellbinding.
My daughter, I'm not sure if I can make it.
Father, you must remain strong, for I bring good news.
Oh, you bring good news?
Yes, I just save a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back, guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's. Know who's really gelling? The King of Queens. Monday through Friday. Check your local listings.
You will help new leaders to train their armies and get on the path of stability and democracy as quickly as possible.
If George W. Bush is reelected, he will cling to the same failed policies in Iraq.
And then our troops will return home with the honor they have earned.
And he will repeat somewhere else the same reckless mistakes that have made America less secure.
The presidential debate, live coverage and commentary, Thursday night on Sirius Left 142 and Fox News Channel 105.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
This is OTEP, and I'm calling from Los Angeles, California, and I am voting for John Kerry because George W. Bush talks the talk, but he does not walk the walk.
This is Jason Crouch in Austin, Texas. I'll be voting for George W. Bush in the upcoming presidential election. Having seen the man as governor of our state and as leader of our country, seems to be the only intelligent choice, in addition to which there are some really important issues coming up with this election, and I think that John Kerry could send this country into the toilet.
Hi, this is Whitney in Horse Branch, Kentucky. I want to return to the no-curb society. No Cheney, no Ashcroft, no Rice, Rumsfeld, and most importantly, no Bush. If you don't vote, you've got no reason to whine.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Black people, a stroke doesn't care about your money or status. Know that it could be a stroke if suddenly you have problems speaking or seeing. Maybe one side gets numb or weak. If any of these occur, act immediately. Call 911. This is Kelly Price.
Blacks have a higher occurrence of stroke. Why is that? Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Good morning, it's 19 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We are going now to do the presidential palm pilot, which was brought to us by Ramon, who I guess got onto a plane and went back down to Florida because Bush apparently had some... He wanted to get a blow delivery. Here we go. Here's the president's schedule today. 4 a.m. Wake up in Miami. Debate day. Note, must score Coke. Must score Coke. We'll make it through day without Coke. Call Ramon. He's on the way. 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Treadmill. Must sweat off loser fat. Note, I'm so ugly. Don't look at me. 1:30 p.m. Eat enormous lunch from Joe's Stone Crab. Three of everything. Crab legs, scallops, grouper, mashed potatoes, gravy, lots of gravy. 1:45 p.m. Vomit. Note, must get rid of loser fat. 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pace like caged animal. Scream at staff. Note, if I start screaming for the nuclear football, don't give it to me, no matter how loud I get. 7 p.m. Call Pentagon, top secret science lab. See if they can miniaturize Cheney so I can put him in my pocket during debate. 8 p.m. Weep. 8:10 p.m. Laugh. 8:15 p.m. Weep. 8:30 p.m. Say something stupid to Fox reporter for last-minute expectation lowering. 8:45 p.m. Laugh. 9 p.m. The big debate. Separate from body. Watch self with amused attachment. 10:31 p.m. Declare victory. Hit Kerry with leftover zingers. 11 o'clock p.m. Bedtime. 11:05 p.m. Vomit. 11:30 p.m. Bedtime. Think happy thought. I'm light as a feather. Mark Crispin Miller is with us, the author of many books, The Bush Dyslexicon, Bush Cheney, what's the other one called?
Cruel and Unusual, I think it's called.
That's a big book. His one-man show, Patriot Act, available on DVD.
You got it.
Where can they get that?
PatriotNation.us.
Yeah. Okay. I saw the show. It's a great show. All that information about the theocracy, the Christo-fascists.
Bless your heart.
The idea that... Oh, yeah. Now, you're going to hang out a minute. We've got to take
you.
We've got a guest in Baghdad who's apparently at the scene of
The scene of a car bomb.
As we speak now. Borzu Daragahi is with us. Good morning, Borzu. So I guess George Bush is not really giving us the whole truth, judging by where you are right now. The things in Iraq are not good.
No, things in Iraq are generally not good these days. I was just at the scene of yet another car bombing. And the target this time was a sewage pumping station. It's really sad, actually. The Americans had just rebuilt it with the help of the Iraqis, and there was an opening ceremony today for the people who were involved in the project. And just as the opening ceremony, the ribbon cutting was winding down, two, possibly three vehicle-borne incendiary devices, car bombs, came to the site of the sewage pumping plant and blew up, killing 15 or so Iraqis, badly wounding five American soldiers, and really just disturbing a lot of people here. This was supposed to be a happy day
here. That's awful.
In our neighborhood.
That certainly is awful. Borzu, we're looking, of course, At the debates here in the United States between the two presidential candidates, and Iraq is going to take center stage, George W. Bush is going to tell the American people that things are going well and that things are, in fact, improving in Iraq. I guess from where you stand, that's not exactly the case.
It doesn't seem like a lot is improving in Iraq, not in Baghdad, not in any of the outlying provinces that I've gotten information from or have visited in recent months. It seems that except for the three provinces of Iraqi Kurdistan in the north that have been free of Saddam's control and pretty much free of American control since 1991, things are just getting steadily downhill for the people here and for U.S. soldiers as well.
Have you been talking to U.S. soldiers at all, Borzu?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, just when I was, when this car bombing occurred, I was scheduled to have a chat with a few soldiers. I was going to talk with some soldiers, and they weren't able to talk with me because they had been pulled away to cover or go and sort of secure this car bombing site. They were rather rattled. I did talk to some soldiers, and they pretty much to a T, even though some of the people are rather gung-ho, they're all rather negative about the mission here. You know, they have very limited objectives at this point. No one talks about winning in Iraq anymore. No one talks about winning the hearts and minds of the Iraqi people. Everyone talks about, you know, securing their base and keeping alive until it's time for them to get out.
Borzu, there was an individual arrested recently or detained by U.S. troops, I believe it was last week. And the charge, I guess, was that this individual who had been in Saddam's army was, in fact, an insurgent sympathizer who was working with the Iraqi security forces. Is that widespread from where you sit on the ground there in Iraq? Are there numbers of insurgents who have infiltrated Iraqi security?
I think that's kind of a strange way of putting it. I think that the issue is that, like, everyone is either an insurgent or a sympathizer with the insurgents. There's very few people here at this point who are, and the ones who are supportive of the occupation and the U.S. presence here are keeping a very low profile and keeping quite silent, or they're protected behind the green zone. It seems like I'm really sorry to say this, and it's really sad, but it seems like everyone you meet these days is kind of an insurgent, or at least supportive, or tacitly supportive of the resistance. Everyone wants the Americans out. Even though in their heart of hearts and in their minds they know that if the Americans were to pull out, it would be a disaster here. There's no clear-cut position.
How does that disaster unfold from where you're standing, Borzu? Is that a civil war between what factions?
I don't know if it'll turn into a civil war. You know, I mean, it seems like there's various nodes of power that are developing, various warlord-type figures. And, you know, in the name of holy war, they're kind of fighting the American occupation force and creating a real culture of militarism. And, you know, the guns are flowing in, probably with the help of the Iranians. The money is flowing in. There's a real kind of culture of violence and militant action unfolding here, and kind of infecting the youth and so on. You see a lot of people, they listen to the music they listen to is like jihad music. They, you know, at the bazaar, at the market, they buy videotapes of beheadings and soldiers getting blown up and, you know, guerrilla warriors fighting the Americans. It's a sort of romantic culture of militancy developing. And you know, I don't think that that's going to end when and if the Americans ever leave. I think as soon as that happens, as soon as the Americans will leave, they'll probably turn their guns on each other.
Borzu, there's been some talk that Iraq, left alone, might end up splitting into three distinct regions, the Kurdish region in the north, the Shiites, and then the Baathist/Sunnis who have in the past been loyal to Saddam Hussein. Any possibility of that actually happening?
Well, I mean, for all intents and purposes, the Kurds have already split off. You know, I mean, Kurdistan, northern Iraq, is pretty much its own country with its own foreign policy, to some extent, with its own army, with its own culture and language. You know, like the Kurds up north, they don't, some of them don't even speak Arabic. You know, they just speak Kurdish and maybe, you know, German or Farsi, but they don't speak Arabic, so they have no connection whatsoever to Iraq or the Arab world. And then recently, just last week, there was just a few days ago, there have been reports emerging that, you know, three of Iraq's oil-rich southern provinces are talking about getting together and combining forces and creating an autonomous federal zone, much like the Kurdish zone.
Okay.
So that means they're trying to break away from this issue, this sort of central government here. They think that they're the region that provides most of Iraq's oil, yet they're getting nothing from that.
We got to go, Borzu. Be careful, as always. Thank you for the information.
Thanks a lot. I don't know that many people had heard anything about these southern provinces talking about splitting off. That's news.
We'll be back with Mark Crispin Miller, and we're going to talk about the debates. We're going to shift gears a little bit, so stay with us here on Air America Radio.
Are you a homeowner in need of a refi to pay off debt, strapped for cash, and need to lower your monthly payments? Save now before rates go back up. Even with less than perfect credit, you can still grab a great rate, even below 6%. That's right. If you own your own home, we can lower your monthly payments. Get cash in your hand, even if you have mortgage late or a past bankruptcy.
This is Jim Eichenbaum with Omega Mortgage Acceptance Corporation. And even if you have less than perfect credit, we can still help you take advantage of rates less than 6%. So don't be misled by empty promises made by other lenders who keep asking for more time and paperwork. At Omega, there's no bait and switch, no upfront fees, just straight talk and honesty.
No need for mountains of documentation or tons of paperwork. We don't even need tax returns. Great if you're self-employed. Just call 888-32-APPLY today. Get approved in less than 20 minutes. We specialize in refis for homeowners just like you. Call 888-32-APPLY right now and lower your monthly payment. Pay off debt, even get cash. Call 888-32-APPLY today. That's 888-322-7759. Licensed by the Cal DRE, number 01411312. 888-32-APPLY.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. All eyes are focused on Florida tonight, and it has nothing to do with a series of hurricanes there. George W. Bush and John Kerry will be squaring off for the first of three presidential debates. Foreign policy will be the topic of discussion. Both are experienced debaters, and both will be looking to get the attention of the undecided voter. National survey released yesterday shows that most Americans are clueless when it comes to the issues in this year's presidential contest. This especially as it pertains to what issues the presidential candidates support. Federal judge in New York has ruled as unconstitutional the surveillance powers granted to the FBI under the Patriot Act. Controversial act is the cornerstone of the Bush administration's war on terror. And a prominent Islamic cleric who was once on the side of the United States is now openly counseling his followers to resist the U.S. military in Iraq. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Yeah, I remember it all right. Back in the mid-50s, a young guitar player was working at an Arkansas roadhouse when two guys start fighting and knock over a kerosene stove. Setting the place on fire, everybody rushes out to safety. The young man realizes his axe is still inside the burning building. Risking his life, he races back to get the guitar that would become known as Lucille, named after the woman those two men were fighting over.
Register to win an autographed B.B. King Lucille on the Sirius Blues page at Sirius.com from Sirius Blues 29.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Shawanda wants to know how to keep federal grants for her school while saving for retirement. I'll talk to her after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Shawanda, a college student, wants to keep her cake and eat it too.
My question is there any way, because the majority of my school is going to be paid for by, Pell Grants or something to that effect, I still want to save. I still would like to invest because I'm still going to be working part time. Is there any way of doing that and still not messing up my government funding for my school?
Well, I don't think morally you should. I think the government should pay for your school or for your food only if you don't have the money to.
Right.
And if you have the money to pay for your own stuff, you ought to pay for your own stuff. So if you make enough money to save money, maybe we ought to cut out the food stamps. You should pay for your own stuff instead of taking tax dollars. My tax dollars to do that. I'm not opposed to helping you, darling, if you're struggling. But I am opposed to you getting money when you have money. If you got the money to pay for your own stuff, you shouldn't be taking government assistance.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Yes, Folks, we're back at 33 past the hour. Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
And over in the other chair is the wearer of many smart hats.
Mark Crispin Miller. Like the one I have on now?
You know, he's hatless right now, but he's an author, he's a teacher, he's a provocateur, and an actor. Can I call you an actor now?
Please, I don't take it personally.
But he's also a great deconstructor of the Bush machine, which he is, the weird programmed robot, human-based, whatever he is. What do you think? What do you think?
You're referring to him or me?
Whatever fits. No, Bush, I mean, you certainly are one of the most astute critics of how Bush operates, and now we're going to watch him tonight operate. And what
sure
are you expecting?
Well, my fear is that he will be permitted to, let's put it very kindly and say things that are not the case.
Yeah, well, considering what we just heard from Borzoo, if
exactly.
You're listening last segment, he's going to try and paint a pretty picture of Iraq, and it's just
exactly
it can't stick.
You know what's so weird about all this is that it's one thing when you live at a time of more, you know, primitive and limited media, certainly before, you know, say, telegraphy, when everybody's living off in the wild, and a politician can say anything he wants, and it'll take weeks, you know, maybe for the correction to come around.
Right.
Well, it's funny that we're living at a time when everyone is instantaneously available to everyone else. Archives are at everybody's fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
The record is even fresh in some people's minds. And Bush talks as if anyone who might correct him is a country away. And we're in the midst of it. And tonight on stage, he will undoubtedly say things are going really well, right?
Yes.
And there's this enormous apparatus in place to correct the record. You know, if not for the sake of making him look bad, then let's think of it as being for the sake of helping the American people figure out whether this is true or not.
Yes.
Well, because there's no inclination on the part of the media to tell the American people what's really going on. I mean, that's considered to be somehow unpatriotic or excessively controversial, just but telling people what's going on.
Can Kerry win this thing simply by correcting Bush?
Well, it isn't a matter of correcting him. It's a matter of connecting with the incredulity that Bush sort of provokes, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
You can't, people like me, like us, we're always sitting around correcting the record. I mean, it's like a broken record. We do it over and over again. No, this isn't true. That's true. You gotta connect with a prevailing sentiment, and you got to put it into words so that many people think it's exactly the way I... He put his finger right on what I've been
saying. So he's got to hit the fact that Bush is full of bully juice. He's a smug, arrogant...
Well, no. It shouldn't be ad hominem. I think the thing to do is demonstrate that Bush is seriously... I'm talking psychotically out of touch.
Delusional.
He's delusional.
Yeah.
He lives on another planet.
Yeah.
The one thing this guy's good at, and always has been good at, is staying on
message. Yeah.
That to him is a strength.
But his followers must be equally as immersed in denial and delusion as he is.
Well, they are. I don't mean to speak on behalf of millions of my fellow citizens, but the fact is the people who agree with him are the ones who want to agree with him and who help themselves agree with him day after day.
What would it take to get those people to stop believing in him? Just curious, in your head.
Well, in most cases, except for the real, you know, dead-enders, it would take a traumatic contradiction, a traumatic collision of the propaganda myth with their real lives.
Right.
In other words, if they lost somebody in Iraq, or let's say Al-Qaeda blew up a car they were riding in,
mm-hmm.
or if they were laid off, or something mm-hmm. happened, unless they're really just hopeless,
mm-hmm.
The chances are they're going to snap out of it, because that's how, this is a sad thing to say, I wish it weren't true, but this is how progress takes place, this is how change occurs. I mean, especially for a people that's living in this iron bubble of propaganda, and that it's basically only being told what it wants to hear,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're going to go with the more comforting thought. You're going to go with the thing that makes you look and feel better. You're going to go with the thing that makes you feel protected, whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, you can't really argue with high explosives. You can't argue with catastrophe. You can't argue with an economic collapse. You can't argue with, I don't think you can argue with, an ecological calamity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The thing is not to permit Bush and his people to spin themselves away from the consequences of their actions, you know?
Yes. But now, if he's got two, let's say Kerry's got two choices for the sake of argument. One, he can try and knock Bush off his message, because you just said he relentlessly stays on message, or he tries to destroy the message. Which one works?
Well, they've taken every possible precaution, it seems, to prevent the former. That Bush, you know, Kerry will not be allowed to interfere with Bush's concentration.
Stream of unconsciousness.
Because he can't address
to his lie.
He can't address him. And you think about it, whenever I have a couple of instances in mind when a challenger has personally accosted or addressed,
Rick Lazio just four years ago, in New York with Hillary Clinton.
He went over the top with it. She wasn't the incumbent. But I was thinking of when Mondale addressed Reagan and said the thing about, there you go again. Reagan was really thrown. And last time, I think Gore actually had the temerity to address his Bush-ship, and Bush was quite shaken by this. Because, you know, think about it. You have to be completely immured in this reality of yours. You can't have somebody put his face in your face and pop the bubble that way. That's extremely rattling. You know, it's like, don't bother me with the facts. Don't bother me with your point of view. Who cares what you think? So I think that of those two choices, Mark, the one he's got to do, and I think the easier one to do, and the one that's going to alienate Bush's supporters less, is to devastate Bush's claims.
Destroy the message.
Well, the message, yeah, it's already destroyed, but Kerry has to drive that point home. And I hope the press doesn't sit there like a bunch of, you know, ventriloquist dummies and just act like every Orwellian statement that comes out of Bush's mouth is credible.
But Kerry, certainly,
enough is enough already.
He's smart enough, he's clever enough, and he's got enough humility to turn this over and make, you know, and spin Bush around if he does it. He's got the oratory skills to definitely do this.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back in a second. We'll be back in a second with Mark Crispin Miller and your calls. 866-303-2270. It's 40 past the hour, Air America Radio. Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. That's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
Yeah, I remember it all right. Back in the mid-50s, a young guitar player was working at an Arkansas roadhouse when two guys start fighting and knock over a kerosene stove, setting the place on fire. Everybody rushes out to safety. The young man realizes his axe is still inside the burning building. Risking his life, he races back to get the guitar that will become known as Lucille, named after the woman those two men were fighting over.
Register to win an autographed B.B. King Lucille on the Sirius Blues page at Sirius.com from Sirius Blues 29.
Want to get your child fired up about playing a sport? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. My wife taught me that it's not a good idea to push your kids into sports. Instead, do things to get them interested. Take them to a tennis match or a baseball game. Then, give them a book or magazine on the sport. Maybe even check out a video from the library. Get excited about the sport yourself and let them enjoy the overall experience. For ideas on how to keep your kids motivated once they do get involved with sports, go to FamilyMinute.net for a free information sheet. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop.
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation. Drop off the kids, run by the bank, pick up dinner, save the year. It's amazing what a mom can accomplish in an afternoon. It's called trip chaining, or combining errands into one trip.
It saves time and reduces traffic congestion and pollution, making our towns a better place to live. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
Past the hour, it's morning's edition. I'm Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley.
Hi.
Mark Christopher Miller is here.
Three marks.
Hello.
We're taking calls at 866-303-2270. Since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that voters know what's happening in this alternative universe, this alternate universe. Luckily, we know someone from that world, and joining us now on the phone from Planet Bush is correspondent Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Mr. Smalls.
Good morning, Mark, and God bless you. But then it's always morning on Planet Bush. Earth saying 72 degrees. Security gates are heavily fortified. Got to keep out the view.
All right. Look, help me understand something, will you, Lawton? How is the president going to explain the situation in Iraq tonight? Come on.
You mean, how's he going to explain how everything turned out so well? Well, I think you'll attribute it to a little luck, a little hard work, and the good graces of our Lord Jesus Christ. He lives right here. He has a condo.
But Martin, I mean, the insurgency is out of control. They're on the verge of civil war. There was a car bomb, you know, 2 hours ago.
Uh-huh.
It's insane.
Yeah.
The troops' morale is down.
Yeah.
It's completely,
uh-huh,
it's chaos.
Yeah.
There's going to be civil war. Did I mention that already?
Yeah.
I mean, like, where are you getting your facts? What's going on with that?
Absolutely. You know, there's never a dull moment over there. Since before we came, nothing happened. Now, my God, those people have things going on all the time. It's fantastic.
Hey, is there a plan for Iraq on Planet Bush?
Of course, Mark. It's called God's plan.
Oh.
It's always been called God's plan, and he'll reveal it when he is good and ready.
What about the beheadings? What can the president possibly say about the beheadings?
All right, now, there's been one or two fellas that maybe have had their heads chopped off, I guess you'd say, but from what I can see, the legs, arms, and torsos are still intact.
That's crazy.
You liberals,
that's crazy.
Look at decapitated bodies as half empty. Our optimistic president prefers to think of them as half full.
That's insanity. That's insanity.
All right. Well, all right. That's one way to look at it. You know.
Wait, do you realize that by failing to see reality, by failing, uh-huh, to face reality, George, uh-huh, Bush is endangering all of our lives? Don't you understand that?
Well, Mark, that's just another way this president brings us all together. All right? He's a uniter, not a divider at all.
By endangering
us?
That's crazy. Are you crazy? I mean, are you going to be watching the debates tonight?
Debate, Mark? I mean, I don't know anything about a debate. The president will be having one of his many press conferences. He believes in keeping the people informed. He's always in front of the media. I mean, half of it will be Bush speaking, and the other half will be a Christian rock video of our prettiest bombings in Baghdad.
Oh, my God.
I've got the TiVo set. It's going to be an event, Mark Maron.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Can you just, like, I don't understand,
mm-hmm,
where you're coming,
mm-hmm,
I mean, what,
yeah, mm-hmm,
what happened, mm-hmm, to you? What happened to you? Why, you know, why are you so afraid?
I hope Daddy doesn't come home drunk again.
Oh, my God. Now we're getting somewhere.
He gets so mad.
That's right. Let it out.
Daddy.
Let it out. That's right.
No.
Come on. Cry,
no,
a little.
Daddy.
Cry a little bit. Come on.
No.
You can...
I'll be good.
Wow. See what's at the core of that? See what's at the core of that? All right, well, I'm glad we got to the
four
core.
4 more years, Mark. 4 more years. We're having a good time,
aren't we? All right,
come
thank you.
Come up to Planet Bush.
All right,
come up there and tell
thank you, Lawton. Goodbye, goodbye. Thank you for calling.
See you later, then.
All right. That was weird and uncomfortable. See what happens when you get to the bottom of it? Let's take some calls, Mark Christopher Miller. Harv in New Orleans. Harv, good
Hello,
morning.
Harv.
Oh, wait.
How are you doing? Good.
Okay. Hey. What's happening?
I'm just driving to work. I got that some satellite couple of weeks ago, and started listening to your show because I like to know what the other side's thinking.
Uh-huh.
And one thing I noticed a remarkable lack of in your show is any specifics. I mean, there's lots of generalized criticism, lots of witty and clever remarks and put-downs and insults.
No, that's the other leftist show that you've been listening to. We have overdosed people on specifics.
What specifics do you want, huh?
Yeah, what would you like?
Well, How about anything?
Take no, no. Give us one. You give us a specific, and we'll give you a specific.
You want
what
specific,
is it that you want to know?
On Iraq? You want right, specific stuff?
How about the economy?
Okay.
Okay, they're not discussing the economy tonight, but that's okay.
Well, first of all, there have been 1 million jobs lost since Bush has been president. He has not managed to create a single job, which he's the first to do that since who? Hoover?
Hoover. 35.9 million people in poverty, 45 million people without health insurance. Specific enough?
The health insurance thing is absolutely incorrect.
What do you mean it's incorrect?
How is it incorrect?
It's the government statistics.
No, what that statistic reflects is a single person who has been without health insurance for one day at any time throughout the entire year. There are not now, at this moment, 45 million people in America.
How many of them are there, Harv, since you know this?
There's estimates that it's probably as low as 4 or 5 million.
Yeah, but the
Hold everything.
Yes.
You're saying it's not 45 million, it's a tenth that number? Is that what you're saying with a straight face?
What I'm saying is throughout the course of the year, at one instant, there are 45 million people who at one point may have not had health insurance for whatever reason.
Oh, that's enough, isn't it?
When you were 22 years old, did you have health insurance?
Yep. I worked in the post office. I absolutely did have health insurance, comprehensive health insurance.
Well, you were lucky, but what percentage of the population?
Lucky? Lucky I was working for a living. What are you talking about lucky?
People need to be lucky in order to get health,
insurance.
In the world.
Come on, man.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Wait a minute. Let's give him a chance. But let's talk Iraq for a second. Since that's what's going to be on the debate tonight, let's talk foreign policy. Harv, what do you got?
The war in Iraq is probably the noblest and most selfless use of military power.
Specific.
How's it going?
Noble and selfless.
How's it going?
Yeah.
Okay. How many mass graves did we find in Iraq?
How
many videos of people being...
But how about the reason we went there? How about the reason we went there? You can't justify a war in retrospect when we were given a reason that we went there, and that reason turned out to be a lie, and you can't spin it and make it seem like it's worth losing American lives at this point in time because we went over a lie. Mass graves are not. Granted, Saddam Hussein was a bad guy, but that was not the intention. And the truth of the matter is Iraq was never connected with terrorism. You guys think you can just turn it around and make it a believable cause. It is true. There's no indication.
Well, all right, give us specifics. What specific tie to terrorism do you have for us, Harv?
How about the airport handler that what is Iraq's Secret Service, the Makabarat, had in Malaysia picking up Al-Qaeda representatives and shuttling them all around town going to meetings planning 9/11?
Wait. You're talking about a cab driver?
That's fictional. The 9/11 panel, it divulged that there was absolutely no connection at all, and the one connection that was supposedly there was a speculative lie. I mean, what you're getting is some sort of weird propaganda that's an assumption, maybe even a fiction made up by some sort of rightist propagandist. I mean, you can't come at us with that crap.
No, wait a minute. See, what startled me there about his entire presentation was to say that, no, it's not 45 million people. In fact, 39 million of them did have health insurance
363 days of the year.
Yeah.
So he was trying to say is that like that poll was taken during a weird 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that? We'll be back in a second with Real Stuff with Mark Crispin Miller after this on Air America Radio. Hey, you guys, remember, there are two kinds of Americans, voters and morons. Register to vote through our link at morningsedition.com. Please, will you? Thanks.
This year, I'm hearing two kinds of political humor. Type 1 is the standard fare of Leno, Letterman, and that crew. Easy, cheap shots that are rooted in media stereotypes. You know, George Bush is a moron, John Kerry is a flip-flopper, that type of joke. These are to humor what Chicken McNuggets are to cuisine. They make us laugh. McNuggets will fill you up. But they also reinforce all that's stupid, shallow, and incurious about our political culture. Empty humor calories. The other kind of humor makes us laugh while cutting towards some deeper truth. Okay, so George Bush is thick as a brick. How does he get away with all this stuff? While Daily Show host Jon Stewart interviewed news guy Wolf Blitzer recently, Stewart, in his funny, unique way, asked Blitzer how the mainstream news corps had been so unskeptical of the Bush pretext for the war with Iraq. And there, in the midst of a comedy show, Blitzer cops to groupthink on the part of the media. You could surf the news channels for weeks and never find that insight into today's politics, but it was there on a comedy show. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Yeah,
I remember it all right. Back in the mid-50s, a young guitar player was working at an Arkansas roadhouse when two guys start fighting and knock over a kerosene stove. Setting the place on fire, everybody rushes out to safety. The young man realizes his axe is still inside the burning building. Risking his life, he races back to get the guitar that would become known as Blue Seal, named after the woman those two men were fighting over.
Register to win an autographed B.B. King Lucille on the Sirius Blues page at Sirius.com from Sirius Blues 29.
Big ears, flat feet, bushy hair. Of all the things to pass down to your child, difficulty reading shouldn't be one of them. That's why at family learning programs, parents and kids learn together so they succeed together. The classes are amazing and free. Family learning programs. The best way out is by coming in. Call 1-877-FAMLET-1 and pass down the greatest thing of all, a chance.
In the 2000 election, only 51% of Americans eligible to vote actually cast a ballot. 24% of Americans weren't even registered to vote at all. And until recently, I was one of them. Then a friend told me about JustVote.org, a nonprofit organization with a fast and easy way to register online. Go to JustVote.org, enter your zip code, and follow the simple instructions. You can also find your local polling place, tell a friend about JustVote.org, and donate money to help get more people registered. It's our democracy. Let's make it work. JustVote.org.
Since Hurricane Charley slammed into Florida on August 13th, the Red Cross has provided refuge to nearly 286,000 residents, served more than 5.6 million meals, and offered mental health services to more than 23,500 disaster victims. All American Red Cross disaster assistance is made possible by voluntary donations of time and money from the American people. Help the victims of the recent hurricanes by making a financial gift to the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund and calling 1-800-HELP-NOW.
Five past the hour, Mark Maron. We're coming in for landing here on Morning's Edition. I got Mark Riley here.
Hey.
Mark Kristen Miller, who's about to illustrate a little more for us how the minions of the neoconservative death cult will just, you know, exploit the deaths of anybody in order to gain political advantage, even if we were connected with it somehow. Mark?
Exactly.
Back to you, Mark.
This thing that Harv said that still has me kind of reeling. So we asked him for a specific about the war after he said it was so noble. And he says, what about mass graves?
Boom.
Yeah.
Ta-da-boom.
That's it. Now, that works on a certain visceral level, because when you're doing war think, if you can evoke something hideous that the other side did,
yeah,
case closed.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Case closed. Well, the problem here is that the zinger works instantaneously. The explanation takes a few minutes. The explanation in this case is that, yeah, there were mass graves. They were filled up by Saddam Hussein when he was a client of this government. Okay, I know this because I was actually working against Saddam Hussein before he invaded Kuwait,
right,
which to people like Harv is a time that never existed. Right? He's always hated us. Who knows why? We're so lovable. He's always hated us. He's always been after us. It's a total projection. Harv doesn't want really to enter the zone of explanation. Harv doesn't want to enter the zone of, gray, right?
Right.
It's all black and white. This is the noblest thing anyone's ever done. And when a specific, mass graves. Mass graves. What do you think of that? It's like that some chucklehead had a song out. I'm sure he's extremely famous. Have You Forgotten? The thing about 9/11. Have You Forgotten?
I don't even know that
this
song.
This is one of these virtuous...
Was it Toby Keith or somebody?
It wasn't Alan Jackson, maybe. I don't know. Anyway... Lou Dobbs, this is during the run-up to war. This is on CNN, right? Uh-huh. This is not just like out in the Klan country somewhere. Lou Dobbs ends some kind of a segment that has to do with basically how we got to go to war with Iraq by playing a kind of a rock video of this guy singing a song. He's live in the studio. And there's footage of people running down the streets of downtown New York screaming as the buildings collapse, "Have You Forgotten?" And Lou Dobbs is smirking away. Now, this is supposed to say... Yeah, you don't want to go to war with Iraq? Mass graves. You don't want to go to war with Iraq? 9/11.
And this is how Bush operates.
Well,
we got to talk about...
It's war think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I understand exactly what you're saying. And tomorrow you're going to come back and deconstruct the debates with us so we can see more examples of how he's going to handle stuff. So I'm sure we're going to see plenty of war think tonight. Right, Mark Crisman-Miller?
Absolutely.
Here's a liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Write these down, folks. One, let results of tonight's debate dictate your mood for the next 5 weeks. Two, keep speed dialing John Kerry with panicked, contradictory advice for the debate. Three, watch debate at local bar. Laugh too loud at each of Kerry's dry witticisms. Four, spin the debate covers, then spin the Republican spin, then spin that spin until you end up agreeing with the spin that they spun after your spin. Declare victory. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Bush looks fat, don't you think? Doesn't he look fat to you? God, he's huge. Thank you, Mark Crisman-Miller. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah,
Riley,
absolutely.
What else we got tomorrow?
Man, I don't know. Are you out of breath?
Yeah,
I feel out of breath, but it's been an intense 3 hours. Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, a live simulcast. We'll be airing all across the UK to get their reaction to tonight's foreign policy debate. Plus, Mark Crisman-Miller will be back with us, and we'll be talking with Florida Senator Bob Graham, too. Morning's edition here on Air America Radio.